The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
I can't trust in a Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And it's Open Mic Friday, and I hope you're having a good day. Want to hear from you today. I'm going to try to have poke a little fun today. There's a lot going on, and I have some of the greatest callers and the greatest audience in the world, and I don't think you guys know how much I appreciate you. But we're going to try to just have some serious conversation today. We'll go where you want to go, and I want to hear from you. The number is 347-945-5229. I have a question, and I'm sorry, I've lost my train of thought, because if you guys don't know, while we're online and while we're live talking to you, you know, we're reading, we're watching the internet, we're pulling up research, we have the news on. There's a lot going on in the studio while we're talking, and so you see us dipping in and out. You know, we talk about the great food over at Charlie Staples. And a great food over at the Amish Marketplace. And, you know, we have a lot of fun. But every now and then something comes across my desk that just baffles the crap out of me, because I can't believe how people have so much time on their hands. I mean, I come running through here, and I'm running a sprint, a 100-yard dash, trying to get in here because – radio is someplace that you really can never be late. It just doesn't work. You know, when we hit the button, you expect for us to be there, and that's the job. And so I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at some of the stuff that people put on Facebook, and I want to know. And then they instant message you, and they don't know you. These people don't know me. And you know it's not your friends that they spam your friends' names and all that kind of stuff. It's just crazy, and I just don't get it. I don't get how people had that kind of time and that deviousness to sit out and try to spam people just for the heck of it. Okay, I'm sorry. I just had to get that out because it was just, do you really, really understand that I don't have time to be playing with you while you're doing this? Okay. If anybody has gone out and tried to go on to the healthcare exchange, we'd love for you to call in. I know there's a lot of stories about people who have their private insurance have either dropped them or their policies have gone up. But if anybody's listening and you actually have gone into the exchange and found out that you've had a hard time getting on or you've had some stories, please let me know. We'd love to talk to you about it. We'd love to find out what your thoughts are and what happened there. I'm going to play a clip real quick from Saturday Night Live.
A message from the Department of Health and Human Services.
Hello there. Hi. I'm Kathleen Sebelius, Secretary of Health under President Obama. Now, a lot of folks have been talking about our new healthcare enrollment website, how it's been crashing and freezing and shutting down and stalling and not working and breaking and sucking. Well, tonight, I have a number of friendly tips to help you deal with those technical problems. For example, have you tried restarting your computer? Sometimes it helps to turn the computer off and then turn it back on. We don't know why, it just does. If our website still isn't loading properly, we're probably just overloaded with traffic. Millions of Americans are visiting healthcare.gov, which is great news. Unfortunately, the site was only designed to handle 6 users at a time. So if you're in a rush, consider using our low-res website with simpler fonts and graphics. Nice. Or if the regular English site isn't working, try signing up in a different language, like, say, Icelandic. And then choose one of 4 simple plans, Fjordflug, Hugelhofer, Trollish, or High Five. Now that's fun. And if our site keeps freezing, we've also provided links to other helpful websites, such as kayak.com, where you can purchase airline tickets to Canada and buy cheaper prescription drugs. Or how about BitTorrent, where you can download pirated copies of healthcare-related movies like Patch Adams. We also have links to a number of doctor-themed pornographic websites that should help you pass the time. Sites like Doctors Without Boundaries, Bang Ambulance, WebMDD, and Blue Cross Blue Ball. Still need guidance? Consult healthcare.gov's frequently asked questions for topics like, what the hell? How have I been on the same page for 3 hours? Does Obamacare cover mental health issues caused by using this website? And our most frequently asked question, who the government? Or you can contact us by mail. Just send a postcard with the word help to the U.S. government. Attention, Internet Problems, Washington, D.C. And in 6 to 8 weeks, you'll receive an informational brochure along with a trial version of Encarta Encyclopedia plus 1,000 free hours of AOL. Just don't install any of these programs while our website is running or it will cause an actual fire. So enjoy your new healthcare system, America. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Oh, look at that. We're already up to 3 likes. And I like that enthusiasm. IT, can we get someone from IT in here? No problem. And I almost forgot the most important thing of all. Whatever happens, do not...
You guys, this rollout, and I thought this was pretty cute and comical, but this rollout and what's going on with the healthcare.gov website is really only a beginning of what is going to be a part of your health care. From everyone that I've talked to, from hospital administrators to medical physicians, they all tell me that they're not prepared. No one is prepared for the masses. The insurance companies, they're doing what they can do to collect the money, but no one is prepared to actually handle the volume. And our system is, you know, it's kind of hard, if you look at it this way, it's kind of hard to set up a system that you didn't set up initially for the masses to pour into if you didn't set it up that way. And our American healthcare was not set up for a national healthcare program. And that's what they have, and that's what they're implementing right now. And they're trying to make a public-private thing going on, but it's not working, and they're not prepared. They're not ready. The phone lines are not ready. And even if they push it back, from my understanding, even if they push it back to a year, it still will not be prepared for all of the American citizens who need to go into the exchanges. And I think this is a real, real, you know, simple fix for a lot of things. If they were to scrap the bill and commit to doing something about health care. Taking it apart, scrapping it, and putting it together one piece of legislation at a time, take the politics out of it. I mean, I'm a political person, and those of you who know me, you guys know that I get into the political thing pretty tight. But sometimes you just got to step back and just make the right choices and do the right thing. And what's happening right now is people are not making the right choices and doing the right thing based upon their needs, based upon what the needs of the people are. They allow lobbyists and insurance companies to come in to write legislation that is only going to benefit them, and it really leaves the American people out in the cold. And so now we have this debacle, And even when I look at, you know, Medicare Part B, the supplemental, I have problems with that also because of just of how they've done it. And I'm not quite sure if America has gotten a wake-up call about what people are legislating for them. You know, I look at the elections on Tuesday here locally and across the country. We're going to be voting on school board and on mayors and on trustees. And I don't think the constituents of the communities are even involved in the political system to really know what's on the ballot, what's taking place, and how they're going to vote, and what's going to be in their best interest. I don't think Americans anymore are involved in the process as they should be. So you have people running for your school boards who have no business being there. They may be well-intended, and I'm not talking about educational degrees because I'm not saying you have to have an educational degree, but you have to be a creative thinker, and you have to be someone who can understand working inside the parameters and then making the parameters work for the constituents, knowing what the job does, and being able to go out and articulate what the job does to the people. And people are not getting involved. And I don't know how we can rattle the chains outside of a catastrophe to get us to wake up to make it happen. You know, I'm watching people do some of the craziest things here in my local races I've never seen before in my life. And I don't know why people have a problem listening to people and taking good advice. I mean, as far as, you know, sometimes people, or even people that you don't like, can help you. And we have a problem with doing that. We have a problem with, you know, and we laugh and joke at it because if you really look at it, it's really a travesty. You know, we're laughing and joking at the healthcare exchange and not being able to get in. But do you know if they mess up on your health care and on your coverage and on your taxes like they did on the rollout, you're really going to be in trouble. And I don't think you realize that. And I don't think anybody is paying attention to that. And we really need to wake up and smell the coffee. We really need to take ownership. We need to turn, you know, our TVs off. We need to go back to having critical thinking and asking questions. Yesterday, I love talking about education and the educational system and getting people to understand who cares what they're doing, just get what they have. But I am looking at right now, they're taking everything that will make you think outside of the box, and they're putting us into a cookie cutter where we will never do it. And if we keep on following bad leaders, we're going to be in trouble as a nation. I don't think we're right. We're quite prepared for that. I'm going to take my first break, and then I'll be back. I want to hear from you. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll see you on the other side.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com. Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique. with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Dramatic last stand of the fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner.
America's correspondent, Geraldo Rivera.
I know people, there are lots of people who sympathize with his cause, but to sympathize with what he did, no, I don't think so.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Starting next fall, Youngstown State will be more selective when accepting students to the university. As it stands, the university accepts students even if they don't meet...
I'm John McNally. I'm asking for your vote for mayor of Youngstown. As Mahoning County Commissioner, I provided fiscally sound and innovative solutions to managing budgets. I will oversee our city's budget as carefully as my own finances. As your next mayor, I will rebuild our neighborhoods, create and retain jobs, and properly fund our safety forces. I will provide strong leadership for every ward and devote myself to moving Youngstown forward. On November 5th, vote John McNally, mayor of Youngstown.
Paid for by McNally for mayor.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour.
You are my inspiration.
Hey, I'm back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. That's what I get for doing too much at the same time. Want to hear from you. It is Open Mic Friday, and there's a lot to talk about. Want to know if you have gone onto the Internet and actually tried to get onto the exchange. Because there are a lot of people out of there that, you know, this was a good thing for them. I had a conversation with someone on yesterday, and they were saying that they're getting bills from their doctor that they have never gotten before. Want to hear what you have to say about that. Also, want to remind you that there's going to be a Caribbean night at the B&O at 530 Mahoning Avenue on Friday, November the 8th at 9 p.m. And New York City's DJ Swift Star is going to be providing the music. Tickets are $25 in advance, and your food is included in that. They want you to call over to Flambeau Restaurant, and it's a Caribbean restaurant over in Austintown on Edgehill Avenue next to Chipper's Bar. That phone number is 330-793-3900. I believe that you'll have a really, really good time. I don't know if you've ever been to the Caribbean. I know the food will be fabulous. I've been trying to make it over there to get me some plantains. I'm a huge plantain fan. I love starches. You guys know that by now. And so please, if you get a chance, go out to the Caribbean night in Youngstown at the B&O. It'll be a nice evening. You'll have a great time. I can promise you that. And then go over to Flambeau and have some Caribbean food if you're looking for lunch, because I know it's lunchtime now. I want to thank Sticks for my lunch. He brought me lunch a couple days ago, and I'm just getting a chance to eat it, so I want to thank him for my lunch. But it's lunchtime, so if you are in the Boardman area, you want to go over to the Harley Smokehouse, or you want to go to over to Sausage and Pizza inside the village almost the village marketplace, and tell them that Tracy and friends sent you. You'll get something healthy there, or you'll get something wealthy there. But I promise you, you'll get something really, really good. And if you're downtown Youngstown, go up to Charlie Staples and tell him that I'm going to be calling him after I get off the air, and that Tracy is mentioning him live on the air, because you'll get some good food down there at Charlie Staples. And then also, if you are in Austintown, go over to Flambeau, and you know, it's a takeout, and it's Caribbean food. It's you can get chicken, you can get light things that are light or heavy there. So there's a lot of places to eat around here. They're supporting Tracy and friends. They make this happen. And we want you to go and let them know that you heard it here on Tracy and Friends. Hey, South Carolina, how are you? Where's that mic?
I'm sorry, Tracy. It's Mike. I'm sorry. I was on mute.
That's nothing new. Hey, did Alabama get in touch with you?
Yes, he did. Thank you very much, Tracy. Thank you for...
You're welcome. See, they act like I don't... They won't... They act like all these numbers are in my head, and they want me to text and drive, and I'm not going to kill myself. That's not good.
No. Matter of fact, I was going to make it simple for you. I was going to send you an email with contact information that you could just forward it, but before I could get to it, the phone rang. Great mind.
You missed the point. If you email while you're driving in the car, you still got the same problem that you had.
Oh, no, I figured you'd do it at your convenience.
But then I wouldn't have his number.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well,
I got all these numbers when I'm here. But when I'm not here, I don't have all this stuff. I'm not that good. You know that, right?
I don't accept that. I have a different...
Oh, trust me. I'm not that good.
I'm holding on to a different reality that you are.
No, I'm being very, very honest. I'm not that good.
Well.
So what's new with
now
you?
Now that we've established that going into the weekend...
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it light. I'm trying to, you know, I want to talk about. I want people to call in who have actually tried to go online or go into the exchange and how that's working out for them.
Did you see that the first day there were only 6 people that signed up for it nationwide? Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. I saw that.
Saying,
I can't believe that.
If they're going to hit the target of 7 million by March, it's
going
to shift gears to 39,000 a day from now till then. That ain't happening.
There's no way. There's no way.
And what about the 14 million people losing their insurance? The net gain is going to be a negative.
There's no way. I love that. I wish I could tell people, yeah, that can happen, but it's impossible.
Yeah.
And then they're assuming that everyone has a high-speed computer that can load all the graphics.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think people realize it. I mean, it's hard enough for some people to mess around with you know, going on Facebook. Because as great as Facebook can be, it can be a pain in the tuchus when something's wrong. Someone asked me the other day, I had an old account, an old employee, we don't know who, set up an account, we don't know whose email account they set it up under, and we want them to cancel it.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know who it is. And we can't find anyone to ask them, how do I cancel my Facebook account? So everybody's relying on this Facebook account, but there is never a person for you to talk to.
I know. I have a domain name that I've tried to, that I register every single year. It's been going on 18 years, but I don't remember what email box, and I want to make changes to it. There's not a blessed thing I can do to change it. It's locked. It's secure. It's everything. It's so secure. And I have sent out enough documented proof that I own that domain, you know, to 12 people in a jury, I'll tell you. But nope, this agency just totally ignores. And at some point, you got to stop sending photo IDs and social security numbers and all that other stuff, because you don't know who's, you're not even talking to a person at the other end. You don't know what they're doing with your information. Yeah.
And so when you go into this healthcare exchange on the internet, they're assuming that everybody in America has a computer. They're assuming everybody in America has a fast computer that can actually handle all the fonts and all the stuff, and they act like everybody is technically savvy enough to do it.
Yeah.
And even if they're – and they keep on talking about that they need all these young people to sign up.
Yeah. That's just not going to happen.
No. And as I said a little bit earlier, and I don't know if you heard me, people really don't understand that the system is not prepared for everybody to be on it.
I know.
The doctors are not prepared. The medical profession is not prepared. they are not prepared for the full rollout of this.
No.
And I don't know why in the world we are so apathetic and we will not take a stand and say, listen, I don't mind you taking care of people, but you have to have common sense.
Well, we are taking a stand. The problem is our representatives aren't listening to us.
We're going to vote them back in.
People agree with you, Tracy, except our representatives they're just totally deaf to the demand.
No. See, the problem is the people who live in these people's districts, they are not enforcing the laws. I said this earlier, as I said earlier, you've got elections coming up on this upcoming Tuesday. And here in Ohio, you're going to be voting for township trustees, you're going to be voting for school board members, and you're going to be running for mayors and presidents of council in most municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
And people have no idea who they're voting in, what their platform is,
yeah,
and if they'd be good at it. And you've got, in some of these races, you've got ding-dong and ding-bat running.
Yeah.
Against each
ding
other.
Ding one and ding two.
Yeah. And ding one is no better than ding two, and put ding one and ding two together, you still won't get a ding.
You still don't add up to a whole ding. You got
no.
Two half dings.
You don't even got half a ding, you just got dong.
I hope somebody didn't just tune in now and wonder, what the heck are they talking about dinging and donging?
I'm serious.
Yeah, well,
I'm serious. And they're
going to
govern your children's lives.
I'm amazed. It, with all the financial resources and all the statistics available to our government, I'm amazed at how inept they are in understanding the demographic of our society and who does what. Young people, young adults, if you want to call them that, or, you know, older teenagers, when it comes to certain things of personal responsibility, don't usually pick up the ball. And all they had to do was look at the model for car insurance, and they would find out most of these young folks, the great majority of them, the only reason they have car insurance at all, not because they took the initiative to go get it, it's because mommy and daddy laid down the law that they weren't going to drive mommy and daddy's car unless they had insurance, or they got jammed up with the law and got stopped without insurance, and that's when they got it. But as far as most of them just going voluntarily to an insurance agent and getting automotive insurance? No way. That didn't happen. That's not how it's done with most teenagers.
If you really look at this, because remember, you can be staying your parents until you're 26 now. So you can be a grown man, grown woman, on your parents' insurance until 26.
26 is now considered children still. Can you believe that? 26 is now considered children. Because they refer to it in the law as your children can stay on your policy until age 26. They actually call them children now until age 26. Lord help us.
That's kind of serious.
It is. It is. Because, then perhaps voting age should then be 27. They should change the voting age and the drinking age to 27 and the age of lawful contract. Or until you're emancipated and on your own.
Wait a minute, but you got people... You got people who are in the military at 18,
that's
taking a bullet.
Yeah,
I mean, Veterans Day is fast approaching, if you really look at how these men are coming back, and these women, men and women now, are coming back from overseas, these babies are coming back really in trouble.
Yeah, very badly broken. Physically and mentally, they are coming back very damaged, yes. War has refined itself to a really destructive art. Even if you win, you lose.
Well, I think we've lost.
It is really sad.
I think we've lost and we are losing. More than we think.
Especially since war has become tougher and we are raising our kids less tough than they were raised two generations ago, physically and mentally.
Are they less tough?
Yeah, yeah, in a lot of ways they are.
Yeah, we really have, haven't we?
Hey,
I mean,
Alabama.
The Marine Corps had to lower its standards for physical readiness.
What's going on?
Hey, Alabama. Hey,
did you
What's
guys
up?
See where they're going to – hold on, Alabama. Did you guys see where they're going to change the hats for the military – for the
Oh,
military,
yeah, yeah.
But
Obama going to give them the woman's hat. He's going to give everybody women hats. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I thought that was a joke.
I told y'all Obama was in the closet. Y'all don't believe me, but he in the closet.
Gonna make him wear bonnet.
Almost.
Hey, okay.
Tracy, I saw something on the news a couple days ago.
Mike.
Not on this topic, but if this is a free-for-all Friday.
Mike.
I wanted your opinion.
Mike.
Yes, ma'am.
Mike, how did you
yes.
see something on TV?
Well, I listen to it. I mean, I'm trying to just fit into my society, so I use words.
Okay.
I use visual imagery to make my point.
Okay, go ahead. I just want to check. We're keeping tabs on you on this blind thing.
I have a great imagination. So.
All right, so what do you want to ask me? What?
Some young celebrity, went to a Halloween party as a character from some television show, and she put on blackface to do it because apparently the character is black.
I saw
and
that.
And she had to apologize. Did you see that?
Who
yes,
that
I didn't.
Stupid?
I also saw yesterday that Ellen DeGeneres went as Nicki Minaj, but she didn't paint her face.
Mm-hmm. And here's what I was thinking. This poor young person doesn't remember the days of Al Jolson and blackface, doesn't know what it means as being a racial slight or slur. Or defamement. She apologized, and she did a very nice apology, much better than Paula Deen's. But here's what bothered me about it. If you want racism to end, or you want this country to become colorblind or color unnecessary, can't you have a black hero? And Halloween's all about the fantasy of being your hero. If somebody went as a cowboy, because he wanted a gay guy, because he wanted to emulate one of his heroes from Brokeback Mountain. Would anyone say anything? What is wrong with crossing, there's black folks, I imagine, dress up at Halloween and go out as Donald Trump or whatever. You know, nobody thinks anything of it. But it's almost a form of flattery to think that some white is enough of a black character to want to be them.
Let me say this. There's a couple different answers and for
sure.
conversation of this.
Mm-hmm.
Either we need to, and blackface can be, blackface was not makeup. It was blackface.
Yes.
And it was not. It was white. It was big. It was white around extending big red lips in blackface
mm-hmm.
and a real
mm-hmm.
dark. You know, it was a caricature of
mm-hmm.
black on a white man's face.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Al Jolson, that's what blackface was all about.
Yeah.
Putting makeup on to brighten and to lighten your skin because you're going to go to a Halloween masquerade, do a movie,
mm-hmm.
and emulate a black person.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be Nicki Minaj or whether it be the other person, Gigi, or whoever they want it to be,
mm-hmm.
is another thing.
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted to go there and they wanted to go dressed up, you know, I watched somebody yesterday, a whole bunch of people dressed up as Miley Cyrus,
mm-hmm.
if that's what you do. And then I have gone, and in my day when I celebrated Halloween, I have gone to Halloween parties
mm-hmm.
dressed up as a white person with my face and completely whited out.
Mm-hmm.
We went to use theatrical makeup. We did the whole thing. Eddie Murphy is very, very good
mm-hmm.
at changing. You know, when he played a white man in Coming to America, he's
yeah.
very good at it. We've
yeah.
seen movies where characters have gone either black or white to black. We've
mm-hmm.
seen that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to take it in the context in which it is.
Mm-hmm.
If a person is dressing up like Al Jolson and Al Jolson in blackface, that's one thing.
Uh-huh.
But to dress up as Nicki Minaj and you want to go and really try to change your whole
yeah play the part appropriately.
Look by her, I don't see anything wrong with it. And I think that we need to somehow get our feelings off our shoulders because everything is not racist. I mean, I did put some stuff on my Facebook page because now there was a racist party out there.
Yeah.
And there were some guys that they did do the whole, I mean, the whole party was everybody come as a black person. And the stereotypes that they actually portrayed inside of doing this was very, very derogatory. So,
That I'm aware of.
That's something different. But then there was one young lady, she dressed up as a black person, and they said, and she put something on Twitter, and then she turned around and said, if you don't be so concerned about how I look, you need to go find your daddy, or something on that order.
Yeah.
You know, that was a bit much, but I think we asked for it in the way that it was positioned.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of
cool that the young kid would see a black role model that they would want to emulate, and I thought it was a good thing until I saw the flap on the whole thing, and I go, man, you know, this is like, but if it was done as a mocking kind of traditional Al Jolson kind of blackface, well, yeah, I can see where that would be inappropriate and would be hurtful, but not to just simply try to go as somebody you idolize.
But we have to educate African Americans as well as the American public on appropriateness and inappropriateness when it comes to certain things. But those of us who are of African American descent, we need not to be so sensitive because somebody puts a brown makeup on for Halloween. Because when you go to a club, when you go to a comedy club, if you listen to some of the jokes that come across the stage, I find them very, very blue and very, very offensive. Because if a white man can't say the same thing about a black person, then a black person doesn't need to say the same thing about a white person. That's always been my rule.
Tracy, I struggle with that whole comedian thing because I used to own a comedy club, but the guy from Seinfeld went on his rant some years ago.
And I remember that.
After he told me some years ago, we had you out back strung up on a tree, you know, and people were like, oh, God, I can't believe you're saying that. Like, it's out there. People have this mentality. Let's not act like, and I mean, I don't care what nobody says. That's the dumbest thing you can do is paint your face, blackface. It hasn't been 100 years. I mean, it's still people were doing this up until not, you know, what, about 60 years, 50, 60 years ago. I mean, it's still something that's real kind of tender for people. I mean, the stuff people had to fight to go through to get out of it, the benefits that, you know, that other cultures and other races, the dominant society has, were afforded because of that. And to just go out and make light of it and say, well, I'm not trying to say this. I'm really – just don't do it, period. Just leave it alone and don't do it. Look,
Go ahead. I mean, my question to you is, okay, I said, but if you look at blackface, why don't we say anything when you have a white guy dressing up as Barack Obama and he's white? On television. Why is it that we don't
say
anything?
I'm going to say this right here. Hold on. I'm going to say this right here. Every year, every president that we've had, he expends his political capital. People are going to march. They're going to protest. Bert Bush was burned in effigy, little dummies and stuff. But when you put a noose around Barack Obama's neck, it took on a whole different connotation, didn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely.
People, that inspired people to say, oh, we got to go vote for him. I wasn't going to vote for him. And man, I think it was a liberal that did it, but the picture just, you know, incites memories. And it's just like if a woman's been raped or beat.
Memories?
Let me make a point. If a woman's been raped, right, then you come and you expect that woman to be normal. If you rape that, if you get what I'm saying, mentally these people aren't, and they don't say that, like, I mean, black people aren't mentally, there's some things that have to heal. It's just going to take time. It's probably going to take over 100 years for that to really be just cool.
Yeah.
It's just too sore of a wound right now. I mean, you can't.
No, but what is wrong with emulating and because remember, blackface is not me dressing up to be.
Well, first
Kim
of all,
Kardashian.
I don't see how anybody could idolize Nicki Minaj. I mean, that's a whole different you know,
it's not
conversation.
About,
but
remember, it's not about idolizing him, because when I don't think that Ellen DeGeneres was trying to become or idolizing Nicki Minaj when she dressed up as her yesterday.
Oh,
but
so Ellen did it.
Ellen did it, but Ellen did not go in black. She did not paint her face because she did not
want
to offend anyone.
Well,
she's
not going
to
be that much of a backlash to Ellen because she's a liberal, and black people, you know, they get their marching orders from black people, from liberals.
She didn't paint her face, so you really didn't know if she was going to, if she was Nicki Minaj or if she was Kim Kardashian.
I mean, you could come out with some pink hair.
No, because
I mean that's
she was,
the biggest thing.
But my issue is, what is wrong with me trying to actually become that person on Halloween? Or why do I say, oh, I can't go, I can't do
Tracy,
that.
Tracy. Okay, let's be honest. Okay, let's say you something happened to a woman. We know women, that's their biggest fear, right? Some guy rapes them, right? So then all of a sudden, a couple of years later, you do something that reminds her of that moment. Don't be surprised if she doesn't like you doing that. That's all I'm saying. Don't be surprised if you come out, all this stuff that black people have been through, then you want to come out and put a black face on and think that you're going to get a pass and let – just understand. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that, yeah, objectively speaking, if you like somebody, you should be able to do whatever you want to do. But we don't live in the perfect society. I mean, you know, America's done – a lot of things in this country have taken place against black people, and – people need to just live up, own up and say, okay, it did happen, so let me be a little mindful of that and not just tell them to get over it. Because that's what pisses people off. Oh, suck it up. Get over it. That attitude, that flipping attitude is what perpetuates it, is that attitude of, oh, hey, get over it, it's nothing.
Hold on. The number 347-945-5229, I just say, it's not blackface. Now, when Ted Danson went to the Jester's Club in blackface,
with
Whoopi
Goldberg, yeah,
that was more offensive. But painting my face as to become, you know,
why was that offensive?
Because he went in blackface.
Oh, whoa! What's the difference in painting her skin black?
There's a difference. Blackface was
different. Hold on, back then there were black people going around doing it and they were making money, and this white guy saw it and painted his face, and then of course he made even more money because that's the way it works today in music, but that's another story.
But Alabama, it was blackface. It was actually, if you look at what they did, it was actually almost like a shoe polish black with big white lips, with big red lips in between, or vice versa. But as far as them going and getting their
skin, I'll tell you a thousand of these.
Let me finish.
Are the biggest racists.
Go ahead. But as far as them going and getting an airbrush so that they become a hue of black, heck, you do that. People do that all the time here where I live trying to get a tan.
Okay.
In the summertime, okay, some of these people around here, they go so dark.
It's with almost like you're just ignoring all of the stuff I said about the sensitivity of the trauma of what happened. I mean,
I didn't say you shouldn't be.
You know what? That doesn't sound like a bad idea, what you just said. You know, if you just, there's a difference. I can make that distinction. But don't tell me that every black person that gets upset is just going too far when
all of this other stuff
is taking place.
Alabama,
too.
That is not what I said. No, what I said was blackface is different from you actually going out and becoming a caricature of a live human being. It wasn't like they were painting on big lips, because I actually seen the photos. I've seen the pictures of the young lady, and there's been a couple of them. They went out with some mad
Nicki Minaj
money.
Made a rhyme about she going to vote for Romney because all these weak, lazy people out here messing up the economy. She's a rapper. You know, people rap and say what they want to say. She caught a major backlash because of that. So I'm just saying, but you're not dealing – I hate to say this. You're not dealing with people that are going to make distinctions. You're just not.
But
that's the truth. They're not going
to
do that. They're not too sophisticated when it comes to this type of stuff. It's just
first impression
– if it's even remotely close, I'm upset.
Sweetie, people need to learn to.
They don't need to be that sensitive about anything. And if you're going to be that sensitive, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. So you can't go inside of a comedy club and say things in comedy, and it's a ha-ha-hee-hee moment. But if you change the face of a person, then it's a racist statement. And that's what we do. We dress up like white folks all the time for Halloween. It ain't nothing new. We've been doing that.
Man, I can go into that. That is 50 million reasons why.
You got more candy?
No, it's because the media and what we see on TV, 90% of it is Caucasian. So coming up as a kid, let me tell you what I told my dad one time. He whipped me when I was little. I told my dad, I want to be white because everybody on TV that has something good happen to them is white. Nothing good happens to black people on TV. That's what I said. We used to joke about it when I got older. But that's just what you see. Growing up in America, that's what – if it's white, it's right. Just being honest.
And so what I'm saying to you is, and this is my issue, and I'm glad Mike brought it up because I did see it on yesterday, and I did pay attention to it. What the young lady was – she just wanted to dress up to be the person that was in the movie. We should not be that race sensitive, one, because most of the people that are yelling have never seen Al Jolson or blackface in their life.
Okay, I understand that, but we live in America and we know this. Just like if you say, hey, I disagree with the gay lifestyle, get ready. Even though you know you should be able to make that point, get ready. So when you make that point, be ready. She should have been intelligent enough to know not to paint her skin any hue of black and think it's going to be okay. That's all I'm saying.
And what I'm saying is, don't you think we're a little bit oversensitive when we go after somebody who paints their face and to depict
somebody
who's a lying?
I think oversensitive. I think they got a gay police out here. But to a certain extent.
But we ain't gay.
Hold on. When it comes to being black and being gay, it's a big difference. Like, I don't think nobody's really met. You can be gay and don't nobody mess with you. I mean, you can't hide being black. So I think it's a big difference. So
I do, too.
To a certain extent, I think people have hijacked the whole civil rights thing and taking it all out in the left field. They don't really care about. So, I mean, when you're talking about black people and what we've been through and the history and hot and top Venus, the distinctions as far as our skin, hold on, our skin, our body.
You didn't say enough. We've been gone through a whole lot. I'm saying people are traumatized about this stuff now. We ain't traumatized by all this stuff because you and I ain't been traumatized by all this.
Hold on. So if I got we have a company thing, right? If somebody make a comment about me being able to jump, which I can jump, but if somebody say that or me being faster because I'm black, I'm gonna perk up a little bit. Like, what are you trying to say? I mean, that's how I'm gonna look at it.
But hold on. Alabama.
Well, he's just joking. Okay.
Alabama. But as long as we can have a movie saying white men can't jump. It's okay. Go ahead, Alex.
Wow. I agree with Alabama a little bit that we do have some traumatization, and it's not necessarily individually, but it's more of in our collective or cultural memory. It has been traumatized, which is why we act the way that we do, why we most black women are ashamed of their hair. You know, they have to straighten it and, you know, things like that. I mean, there's definitely traumatization in our memory. I mean, it would be naive not to deny that. But what I want to say is you pose a question about whether or not we're too sensitive. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, no, I think that repeatedly – the humanity of black people, of African people, is not respected. I mean, nobody would say if you saw just a glimpse of a swastika in any public display, nobody would say to Jewish people, "Oh, you're being too sensitive." And you know, most Jews today, 99.9% of them never experienced Nazi Germany or even saw that flag. or those symbols in real life. But no, you know, in their experience, their parents or grandparents did. But nobody would say anything like that to them. You're being sensitive, too sensitive. And so, but those things are levied against us all the time, and
Alex,
there's a reason for
on
that.
On MSNBC last week, they put up a photo, and they doctored it up of a Klan meeting with a burning cross and a Ku Klux Klan behind it. And no one said too much of anything about it.
What were they saying?
I didn't say.
They were accusing Republicans of something, probably.
Yeah,
they were.
Tea Party. They were saying the T in the cross stood for the T in Tea Party. It was a Democratic congressman in Florida said it.
And so what I'm saying is I didn't say about the depiction of the things that bring back memories and the N-word. I didn't say get over it. That's not what I said. But when someone actually goes out on Halloween as Nicki Minaj and they go into a costume and they make themselves look like Nicki Minaj with the colors and the makeup and they change the color of their skin, that's not derogatory.
What's
derogatory is if you go in the blackface and you start singing Mammy. I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
Start going into a. I didn't mean that to be insensitive or funny. I meant
I thought it was genuinely funny. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, stepping.
You know,
I remember stepping.
The bowing and scraping, you don't want to be whipped. You know, no, there's you know.
Well, I mean, Nike was Adidas had some shoes with shackles on them.
Yeah.
And people had a fit,
yeah.
Which was a stupid idea.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They didn't mean anything. I don't know what they – maybe they had some other mentality. Just certain things, you just – come on, man. Come on. You know better. Just leave it alone. Why would you even – I should be able to. Okay, you should be able to. Okay. Now that
– Yeah. And I do understand your point, Alabama, because Saturday Night Live did a routine about a blind guy going into a China shop and with his cane was knocking stuff off the shelves and everything else, and it was a big joke, you know? It bothered me a little bit, you know what I'm saying? And I tried to go, okay, you know, the whole world isn't blind, so let's just get over your thing, and you know. But I thought it was insensitive, and I thought it was a cheap shot, you know.
I mean, but what's his face did? If Frank Sinatra did, what's that guy, Stevie Wonder, told him to his face, "You're blind as a bat." It was during Ebony and Ivory,
yeah.
And he was thought it was way back 30 years ago. He did that, and it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, a friend of mine from New Zealand who took apart one of the parliamentary people down there one time because the guy during a debate said to one of his people he was debating in their Congress, said, "And if you can't see that, you're blind," meaning that meant stupid. It didn't mean unable to see, but if you can't see my point, then you're blind, you know?
Right.
You're stupid.
Right. People,
and
people say
when you
that
think about that, there's a lot of crossover where euphemisms for black Americans and euphemisms for disabled people cross over into derogatory comments about the person you're talking to, even though they may not be black or may not be disabled.
Yeah, you hear that a lot. You actually hear that a lot.
Yeah, you do, and especially around the N-word and stuff, you hear that going, "Well, you stop being blank, and, you know, or acting like, or what, you know what I'm saying?" And it's like, that ain't true. And yet, here's the duality of the contradiction of the whole thing. At one time, when somebody said you were being worked like an N, it meant you were working hard. It was a compliment. You know, and it's like the same thing, even go like, "Man, you know, man, he's working harder than a one-armed paper hanger," even though that's a disability, but it says, "Man, he's just putting it all out," you know? And then you go to the other side, and so, you know, one minute it's derogatory, and the next minute it's kind of a left-handed compliment. You know, "You work me like a slave," meaning slaves worked hard. We all acknowledge that, you know? And so it's just, so You try to be sensitive.
Well, there are a lot of people that think that was a good trade-off with slavery because they got free clothing and shelter. So, I mean, that is out there.
This government keeps going the way it's going with taxes and everything. We're going to about all be back there. It's going to have nothing to do with color. It's going to be economics. We're going to all be back there. We'll be working for subsistence. The difference is that you think you're free, they'll let you put your name on your checking account. But they're controlling the money. Yeah. And most of your life's productivity will go to make someone else rich, you know? They will replace the plantation system with the banking system, and everybody will be equal then, you know? So, if they have their way. But no, I understand. If anybody who thought slavery was a good deal is I almost said it's blind.
I mean, you've had a few celebrities say that that's why we came in this country, and we benefited from coming to America through slavery. So you got people that think like that. I mean, you do.
Yeah, what are you all complaining about? You get a free boat ride, transatlantic, on a cruise ship, and
yeah. So I mean, it's you'd be surprised what people think.
All they'd have to do is find themselves one day with their daughter being sold away from them and stuff, and somebody thinking that was okay to split up the family.
Yeah, I would tell people when I hear people say that, because I've heard both black and white people. Say that, stuff like that, and I always ask them, "Have you ever read the autobiography of Frederick Douglass?" And you know, not 99% of them have not, and they're just totally uninformed about the realities of slavery. Then, as you know, as Frederick Douglass talks about how he didn't even know who his mother was because his mother wasn't even allowed to mother him because he grew up in Maryland.
Yeah.
He was a slave in Maryland. He was saying how it was routine for the young children to be taken away from the mothers when they were young, because the mothers are going to protect their children.
Sure.
And so he says he remembers, you know, maybe late at night or early in the morning, a woman would come and maybe nurse him, but then by the time he woke up in the morning, she was gone. And he wasn't even sure if that was his mother, you know.
Wow.
But
yeah,
and yeah. It's just the realities of what went on back then. You know, most people that say stuff like that, they're just completely ignorant. I don't even waste my time arguing.
I think they're looking at, Alex, what they're looking at is, okay, we're in America, we're wealthy, we're the wealthiest Africans on the planet. So that's why they say that, as if that equates to, okay, well, 400 years of this and rape, murder, you know, then you don't have no rights and all the stuff that they've done.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just the whole total, just so, I'm like, okay, if that's the case, would you be willing to go through that today? So that, you know, 300 years from now, somebody that you don't even know
Can have a
can
visa
benefit
card.
From it.
Yeah, have a visa card and be called almost people. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
no, I hear
so that. I just think that's crazy. So.
Yeah, because the life you live is the life you've got. And if it sucks, you can't go on the, well, you know, 300 years from now, we're all free. Oh, well, then hell, whip me some more. let's just get on through this right now. Here's my daughter. Sell her tomorrow. If down the road,
yeah, tell
Alabama
her great-great-grandson would be, yeah. I can care. I ain't trying to be funny, but I care less about that. I'm like, what, you know?
It's so absurd to think that people would think that mindset would even be a, you know, a compensation.
I mean, but the difference, and this is the thing that, and this is just how I feel like labels come in with people, is that you can see that, but then people will turn around, like Tracy said the other day, and be like, well, it wasn't as bad. They always showing us the worst of the slaves. I feel like just about every rendition of slavery I've heard of has been just about like that. I hadn't heard too many good, few and far in between. I heard a few, but not, the norm was pretty bad, the norm.
Yeah.
Because people will treat you a certain way. I mean, because you know, you're their product that they paid for, but at the same time, you're a human being.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like for example, Diva? She's bullheaded. You have to whoop. So if you own somebody like that, you have to whoop them into submission. This is a human being we talk about. So I don't think any form of slavery was good, and I think it all was just as bad as the movies. Just as bad. I don't see the movies as being a stretch. I really don't.
Actually, I think the movies aren't even as bad as it was.
That movie, 12 Years a Slave, was pretty. It was pretty bad. It's pretty graphic.
You know, halfway through the movie, you went out and got a little box of popcorn. You know, you didn't have to deal with it. You know, no, the movies don't even begin to portray it.
Yeah, I mean, what people don't realize is, like, slavery was so bad, like, and particularly in Haiti,
yeah,
the average life of a slave was only 6 to 7 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So, because they were beaten so bad. And then by the time the Haitians, well, I guess they weren't Haitians then, but, you know, by, when they revolted and kicked out and actually defeated Napoleon's army, the United States government, even George Washington himself, sought to they didn't want that influence in America because they were beating the snot out of their slaves, too.
But I mean, they were underfed. They didn't receive proper health care. They basically took care of themselves, you know, with their own herbal remedies and things for wounds and cuts. And this is before antibiotics and when a simple cut is deadly back in those days. And, yeah,
right.
Life expectancy of, like, 32 years old for a male or whatever. A lot of women died in childbirth, and it was just anybody who thinks it was some kind of another
Even in the movie, the guy that's supposed to be a quote-unquote good guy, he gave him a violin. He was like, yeah, in the years to come, you know, you can really cherish this.
It is gone somewhere
else. Like,
Alabama didn't change the subject. I know he did. Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Alex, I know, but you can't just change the subject in the middle of a sentence and keep on going. I need to go back to Alex for just a second. Alex, what? Continue your thought, because I had to go to break while you were going there.
I was just saying that, you know, I don't think that other people the humanity of black people just isn't respected because I understand what you're saying, like, well, you can't even go and say, like, Nicki Minaj or whatever, but, you know, we saw that in entertainment as well where black people weren't even allowed to be an actor because it was considered an intelligent profession. And so if you had to portray a black person, it was a white person in blackface. And even things like that Alabama touched on, like with the, you know, Venus Hottentot, like the bodies of a black woman have been objectified for centuries by Europeans. You know, the thighs and hips and the booty and all that, you know. And so it will touch a sore spot, you know. If they try to mimic Nicki Minaj, who has a grown derriere, you know, it's just one of those things that culturally, if we're going to cohabit better and with better sensitivity, we need to be sensitive to those things,
in both directions. You really think about it. You go and catch a good. If you go catch, you know, I'm trying to Paul Moody or Eddie Griffin, Eddie Griffith, and if you catch them on stage live, they raw, and it's like I'm embarrassed for the white people, and they sitting there laughing.
Tracy, come on, Tracy. Tracy, are you serious?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you serious? No, Tracy.
Absolutely.
Tracy, this is the point. Hold on, let me make this point. The point is this. He's probably standing in a club in a building that's owned by a white guy. The guy got a loan from a bank that's owned by a white guy. Everybody drove in cars manufactured by some Europeans. His clothes were probably manufactured by Europeans. He's surrounded by, just like in the movie Higher Learning, he said, look around, they own this, like, one or two little situations, anecdotal, where some comedian stands up and cracks jokes that are all racial. Sometimes I get tired, like, dude, is that all you can talk about? There are other subjects, too. So, but that's what he's famous for. So, but I'm just saying, I mean, come on. I mean, there's a big difference between Paul Mooney standing up and the guy from Seinfeld standing up, talking about we would have lynched you guys when you up against the tree.
I didn't know.
Guess who he ran and got? Paul Mooney to try to help him. I wouldn't have co-signed him.
Listen, I did not compare him to the guy on Seinfeld. That's not what I said. I didn't. You brought up Kramer from Seinfeld. I didn't bring him up. I remember it, but I didn't bring him up because he was out of color because his was not a part of his skit. He was just on a rant that went crazy because somebody he got heckled in the crowd. That was something different. But what I'm saying is, if you are, we're talking about Halloween. We're talking about people dressing up in masquerade and in costume. And if you want to go and you want to look like Robin Thicke and you get on the whole thing, nobody's going to say anything if you bleach out your face to become Robin Thicke, on that pinstripe ugly suit, and do something about it. But if I want to go, if a white person wants to go, if Nicki Minaj, Beyonce, or Oprah Winfrey, or Precious, they're going to have a problem. And we need to, you know, sometimes we need to ease up.
Wait. Precious, that was a bad experience. Just take that out, please.
Why?
Take that out. I mean, even though I agree with your point, don't use, you know, doggone. Precious was blackface in reverse, if you ask me. That was just blackface for the new millennium for real.
Baby, come on, Precious now. Lost the case for Trayvon Martin.
No, I was talking about Precious for the movie.
I said, but baby Precious lost the case.
But they ate that up. They loved that. She fits the stereotype. The big mammy. It's what is it? I think it was like five stereotypes. A guy was telling me one time, you got the magic Negro, the mammy, the brute. I'm dead serious. You just look at it. And anybody that fits these stereotypes, they open the gates. The ones they open the gates for.
Wait a minute.
There's some stuff we need to get past. Go ahead, Tracy.
Okay.
Brother Man said in the chat room that he doesn't think black comedians go on rants and attack hecklers with racial slurs. You ain't been to very many, comedy shows,
go to the comedy store.
Oh, my God.
Go out to Maverick's flat and catch them when they come out to Maverick's flat and they try to step on just a regular crowd.
You ain't got no idea. You have no idea.
Oh, man.
You're going to say something like that one. No, you have no idea. Please.
Yeah.
Those same comedians are riding on black people just as hard, too, though.
Not like that. Great, Alex.
Just with the theme of you talking about Halloween, do you recall when, I think it was maybe 2 years ago or so, when on Halloween, it was a Halloween party, I think, when Prince Harry, the British royal family, dressed up as a Nazi soldier. Now, he had was that arm patch with the swastika on, and he got the royal family got so much bad press just from that, you know, just from that alone. And it was a Halloween party, you know. And so this goes to show that.
But hold on, no, Alex, you're comparing apples and oranges.
No,
there is a difference. I said if you dress up like Al Jolson in blackface, if you go and become, you know, and you become this thug or whatever, if you go that far, if you start pulling out nooses and going as a Ku Klux Klan, that's something different. But if I dress up and I want to become...
Where did you get the rules from, Tracy?
The rules
Who set these rules?
I'm dressing up as a live person. I'm dressing up as, say, I'm white and I want to dress up like Michelle Obama. And if you look at the amount of money that these people put in these costumes,
I'm gonna tell you something. Who
gives a doggone whether it's smart? That's what you want to do. You're supposed to be able to be
Mr. Green, hold on.
Why wouldn't it be smart? Because
okay, you want me to answer it, or you just want to say,
Mr. Green,
this is what I'm gonna say. Do it. But don't get upset when it's a backlash. You can go in a black neighborhood and scream out. Look, you go in a black neighborhood and scream out nigga all you want. Don't be upset. You free to do what you want.
That's a different thing altogether.
That's not what they did.
No, it ain't. You free to do the same.
Okay, now you got to wait and listen to somebody now, though. Now, but I'll say it again. Dressing up like Michelle Obama is not yelling nigger. That is not the same thing. And that's what you've equated to, though. And that's what the politically correct people
do. I'm not equating
it. And that's why they're always crying wolf. And then when the wolf really bites their behind, they ain't got nobody to come to help them. And that's what they deserve.
Hold on. Dr. Laura, we'll make this point. Dr. Laura came out and went on a rant saying, nigga, all the time, right? Hold on, Alabama.
Who's that just jumped in?
Go ahead.
It's me, Alex. I just need to ask. Do the censors bleep out the N-word only when white people say it, and when black folks say it, just goes right through?
That is correct. It goes right on through.
Because y'all just sent the joke at me because y'all just tossed it twice, and I'm like, geez, I don't even, it's not even in my vocabulary. But go ahead. All right.
Hold on. That's why I'm staying out of this conversation.
I don't have the right.
You brought it up. Go ahead, South Carolina. No, you brought the topic up. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Well, I'm going to tell you, at this point, with everything that's going on, I don't care if they dress up like Snoopy and the clown. It don't make any difference to me. Let them do it. They got the right to do it.
That's how I feel about it. I could care less.
Let me ask you guys this. Who said put them in jail because they dressed up like that? Nobody. They have a right. They're not going to go to jail.
If somebody goes and strikes in Alabama, that person is stupid. Sweetheart, it wasn't about putting them in jail. It was about holding a conversation and then everybody else being afraid to go out and dressing up because they didn't want to offend people. How do you get offended because somebody white wants to dress up and become the president of the United States, and they go out and get their whole body airbrushed and all that kind of crazy stuff
and put implants
into their face?
Tracy, because you're dealing with the people who was taken from there. I mean, we can go down this big long list of stuff that's been done to these people, and then you want them to act like you can, like a normal situation is not, even though that is normal. Okay, I'm agree with you guys. That's normal. You should be able to dress up like you wanted to. I agree. That makes sense. But you're not dealing with, you got a lot of other dynamics involved. And I was trying to make a point about Dr. Laura. Dr. Laura went out and made a point and said the N-word 5 and 6 times on a show with this girl. She said that her husband's friends were making all these racial comments and, you know, saying this or whatever. And so, you know what I thought was stupid? What's the lady from Alaska, the governor, Sarah Palin, came in and defend it. Some things are just stupid. Like, some things I'm just not
going
to touch.
You're going off topic.
I'm saying it's stupid to do it. I ain't saying she's free. Dr. Laura was free to do what she wants. Don Imus was free to do what he did.
Listen, no, it's not stupid to dress up like the president. When you go down to the Hollywood Halloween parade and look at how the gay folks dress up, and the monies that they put into them dumb costumes, and they dress up like Marilyn Monroe to where you can't tell the difference between Marilyn or Monroe. When you look at people that are in drag, these people go completely way out to become the manifestation of these people. Not because they're trying to be demonize them, but because they want to do that. That's their business. So you got a white man who dresses up like Diana Ross, and he spray paints his body black because Diana Ross ain't white. And we get offended because he does it. That's just crazy.
Well, I'm not getting upset. I'm just telling you why. But what I'm saying is
we scare white people because they don't know what to say to black people, how to dress and approach black people because of stuff like that.
You know what, though, Tracy? Until reparations, until black people have gotten to some semblance of justice over some stuff that's been done, they're going to be a little all on edge. That's just the bottom line. I know you probably don't like that. We probably never will get it.
Guess what? They're never going to get them because they're playing the game stupidly and majoring on minors when they should be majoring on points and quit acting a fool so that somebody takes them serious. We act like the fools that people portray us to be sometimes, and because of that, you know, we're getting deeper and deeper into, being a non-issue in America, and that's just the truth.
Can I ask people a question? I want to ask everybody a question, please. That I think that there's some features that you do that's. It just becomes over the top because I think that, let's say, if someone went to a Halloween party and they wanted to, I don't know, they wanted to be Jackie Chan or Jet Li, and so they taped the sides of their eyes so that they were, you know, to resemble Chinese people. I think that it would come off as really offensive, but I don't know. I just think that there's just some things when you try when you're trying to caricaturize, you know, the traits of somebody else of another group of people. It's just over the top, and I'm pretty, you know, I'm pretty sure if someone tried to caricaturize Chinese people or, you know, East Asian people, people would just be like, "Oh my God, I can't believe you did that."
But
once again, like I said earlier, if people don't respect the humanity of black people, and that's
but
the reason
why
we're like, oh,
this is what I'm. This is what I'm saying. If you what we're if you listen to what I'm actually saying, well, the people are were not caricaturizing black people. They were trying to become individuals that were black. It was not about them becoming an anonymous black person. They were trying to become and or put a costume on of a certain character of a black person. That's a totally
like
different thing. Hold
and
on,
like
Alex.
I said, what if it's a particular Chinese person like Jackie Chan?
They've done
or
that.
Jet
and
Li.
I don't, and you
and,
they,
and
done
their
it?
Eyes and made their eyes
and they
resemble
did?
I don't believe
they
that.
Did
I think
difference
people will be
between,
outraged.
The Alex,
I
the difference
be
between
outraged.
Them the difference between them and us is they never opened their mouth and they didn't care.
Huh?
Huh?
Say what?
They didn't care.
Hey, listen, has anybody
seen
go ahead, South Carolina. Hold on. Go ahead, South Carolina. Alabama,
oh,
hold up. Go ahead, South Carolina.
I know you guys have watched in Living Color, okay? And I know you've seen Jared. I mean, come on now. Come on. Jim Carrey, you know, he mocks everybody. I mean, you've seen Tropic Thunder. There's other movies out there. What is the issue with somebody trying to look black?
Oh, that's
or trying to dress up and be black. It's
you
crazy.
Can't compare
why are we fighting the wrong fight?
You can't
women,
compare
women.
Those.
Why can't you?
Because in Tropic Thunder, he was in a movie trying to portray a black person. I mean, that was totally different. And the costumes that you were speaking of, Ellen, as Nicki Minaj, that was floating on my Facebook page all yesterday, trending all yesterday. I have yet to see any black person get offended by that. Juliana Huff.
Diva.
Let me finish.
You can't finish because you came in late. You're missing the point. Listen to the point and then come back.
I'm about to get to the point.
You
Juliana Huff.
Diva, this is the issue. The issue was, when I brought up Ellen DeGeneres, the reason why Ellen DeGeneres did not go into black, she did not spray paint her body, is because she did not want to offend. The other young lady who everyone is knocking did.
Exactly, and that's my
and
point. There's a difference. You don't need to dress up as a black person and go as blackface. When I dressed up as Marilyn Monroe one year, I had the red lipstick, I put them all on my face, the white wig and the dress. I mean, the blonde wig and the dress, and everybody knew I was Marilyn Monroe. I did not need to paint my skin white. As kids, we dressed as white characters, white people all the time, but we never painted our skin white.
No,
why
no,
do you
Diva,
need
just brought,
to go
Diva,
the extra
brought,
and paint your skin brown or black?
We just brought by Ambry skin tone cream and lighten ourselves up over a period of years.
She's
come on,
correcto political.
But you're making the point that there's a system that got people like Sammy Sosa bleaching their skin. Why? Because white is right. He got to be. It's, look, I believe that people can achieve and raise from their adversities, but at the same time, let's not just be act like everything's just all hunky dory and everything's even and black people haven't been through.
Just
they have been through some hard.
Like
that.
The point. Come
we
South
talk
Bay,
about
listen,
racism every
black.
Single day on this station.
Yes.
So how in the world could anybody get that by that? We're saying to
come
you
to
that on basic life situations, this is stupid.
Come to South Carolina in the summertime. Go to Myrtle Beach, and you will see how many people are out there that don't look like you, that are laying out there that are as dark as I am. They spend plenty of money, $35 a pop, just to have a subscription to the tanning bar.
But they're trying to get in dark. They're not trying to portray black people. That's the big difference. Y'all can't see the big difference. I'm just shocked. I'm just shocked that we even had the giant.
Listen, you can't get to nothing that we don't understand already. Okay, so let's stop it. You are not like that. So let's just stop it. We see the difference. We're talking about another nuance that you're not getting, and so now you want us to play on your point. No, we're not playing your point. We're playing what we're talking about. Hold on, guys.
I'm going to take a break. But I'm just saying, this was a person trying to become a caricature of a live person in a movie for a Halloween party. Period. And we got people like Ellen DeGeneres, instead of her doing the all-out costume and going, so when she walks out, she looks just like Nicki Minaj. We got her looking like Kim Kardashian in a Nicki Minaj costume.
Exactly. She didn't look nothing
looked
like nothing.
That's
right.
What she looked like. Because Jeff and I, we were sitting there watching it when it happened, I believe it was.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, Halloween costumes, if someone's trying to become someone else, we shouldn't be floating and being upset about that kind of stuff. But if you're trying to put together and you're trying to go down the street and you're in blackface and you're trying to play Little Black Sambo and you got all, that's something different. That's something totally different. And it makes a difference. A huge difference. And we need to be able to critically think about the huge difference that it makes. If you want to dress up and be Barack Obama, if I dress up to be Barack Obama, I promise you I'm going to try to flatten my chest, put some kind of wig on, do something so I look like Barack Obama, and try to do whatever I can to my skin, put my lips a little bit darker.
That ain't going to happen to
you. You know. But that's what I'm going to try to do. If
smoke
I'm trying to become.
That ain't going to happen.
You know, I'm going to try to do the Barack Obama thing. Okay. If I'm trying to become Precious, I'm going to gain some weight. Whatever it takes, I'm going to try to make that happen. But we need to cut out some of this ultra sensitivity about what people look like on a Halloween night trying to dress up to be a character of somebody who's alive and going back trying to be, you know, Aunt Jemima.
Well, if a person has died, if a family member has died, right, or one of your friends, right?
Hold on, Alabama. Let Mike in first. Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, you know, because like I had mentioned earlier, you know, if you go out as a cowboy, some people say, well, now you're being insensitive to the Native Americans. No, I'm going out as a cowboy because I'm gay and I'm going out as my favorite character from Brokeback Mountain. Or if I go out with white face on and look chalky, it's because I'm going out as a vampire. Well, there's some people running around saying they're vampires. Is that defaming them? And at some point, it all gets so crazy, and it's like, does any of it matter anymore? Does any of it really
matter
your life? What is taken from anybody because someone else goes out and does something good or bad or dumb? What is taken from anybody? And at some point, life is short. And, you know, you could be one of those people, you know, military history is full of generals who won every single battle and still ended up losing the war. And life's a war to have a good life. You got to do your own thing. And it's like, this is all just crazy after a while. But, you know, Tracy, I agree with you. It's just like, you know, I know there are people who are thin-skinned about it, but there's going to be somebody thin-skinned about just about everything you do. There's the people who don't like the fact that you eat meat. You had ribs yesterday, Tracy. I'm surprised you're not being picketed now at the studio today by the vegetarians of the world.
Don't get them started, please.
but there's always going to be somebody who's put out by someone else, and it's their problem. At some point, it's like me. You know, I was sharing a story during the break that Saturday Night Live did this thing about a black guy, a blind guy, went into a China shop and with his cane was knocking stuff off the shelves and everything else. It was like 25, 30 years ago they did this. and it's like it kind of hurt, but it's like, and it was a cheap shot. But at some point, it had no long-term permanent effect on my life, so just let it go.
I'm Alabama, bring you right back in, but let me say this. I remember people were upset when Stevie Wonder went on that Saturday Night Live with Eddie Murphy years ago, and they started cracking on Stevie Wonder being blind. I mean, they and it was hard. I mean, they went to the drive thing. They did some serious comedic skits about it. Uh-huh. It's not that serious. Now, if they had gone and done something that was very, very inhumane or something that was just to keep them, that'd be different. But just because I want to dress up and I want to become somebody else. Yeah, Alex.
How did you feel about when the Wayans brothers made that movie White Chicks?
I thought it was the dumbest movie in the world. It didn't bother me at all.
It bothered me because I'm gonna tell you why, because I felt like, you know, it was just so idiotic of them to do it, because it just opened the door for white folks to portray anything that they wanted about black folks, for them to come out with a movie like that. So,
well, they had a movie in the 80s called Soul Man, where the guy had a fro and he was black and was dating a black chick, and they found out he's white at the end, and it was a hit. So they've been doing it.
Well, yeah, we know that they've been doing it, but, you know, in terms of sensitivity, you know, we're not even allowed to be sensitive to it anymore after they made that White Chicks movie, because it was just
it was the dumbest movie I've ever seen.
Very stupid.
Yeah.
But I mean, when I look at the one that the guy who became black and white, I want to call it Milkman or something, I can't remember it came out years ago. And he went into the bathtub and he came out white.
Watermelon Man.
There you go.
Watermelon Man with Godfrey Cambridge.
And so, you know, and I don't have a problem with that. You know, we talked about art yesterday. If you want to become, you know, if I've decided that I'm going to go dress up and become someone, then I'm going to try to go up and dress up and become that person. I'm not going to just try to become that person because I'm going to put on a suit that looks like theirs, but then I ain't going to look like them. That doesn't make sense to me.
Stupid.
So, yeah. But we become so sensitive. White folks scared to do anything because they don't want us. They don't want to be called racist. They don't want to be called, you know, I don't want to hurt your feelings. And we need to either ease up or ease right, because there are other things that we need to have a conversation about.
Frankly, that has them not what they have had,
and it
more not to do with you.
Because
the ones that didn't mind you at all don't want to have nothing to do with you because they're afraid that they might do something to offend you, not understanding.
And so they're afraid. People even have a problem hiring African Americans because they don't want anyone in the office to offend them. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're an equal opportunity offender here in my office, Tracy. You can come and work here anytime you want.
You gonna make people work. I ain't coming.
Well, we got to do something to bring in the bucks.
Do something else.
Hey, while we're on the subject of offending people, would you portray somebody
or not?
Whoa,
wait a minute. Hold on, Mike. I promised Alabama I'd let him back in because he and Diva on the other side of this.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, too.
This
guys,
we're going
to talk about that hair thing. Go ahead. Go ahead, Alabama.
To me, I liken it to, you know, certain things that people are sensitive about, like death in the family stuff, certain things you don't do because that person may be tender about something. The only point I was making was that Ellen was free to do what she wants. I don't think she should be, her show should be canceled or, you know, but at the same time, I just don't think I would make that choice given the history of what blacks have gone through in this country and are still going through. So that's all I was saying. And if you look at when somebody dies, you come around that person, certain things that person that died you try to stay away from that because they are grieving. And there's a process, a natural process, that people have to go over and through before you can really come around that person and treat them like you would treat someone else. I hate to say that, but that's the truth.
But Alabama, the problem is Ellen made a bad choice in costume because she couldn't go all the way.
I agree. She looked stupid.
Young lady who did go all the way, and she was a nobody, is now being talked about by everybody because she went all the way and did it right. She went in the costume to look like a certain character, and she came out looking like that person, put it on Facebook because she did actually have the look of it and got bent out of whack.
Do you know that, have you ever watched Orange is the New Black? Because the reason I think that's the show. Juliana Huff went as a character from that show. It's called Orange is the New Black. It's about women who are in prison, okay? The show, the character that she went as is a stereotype in the show. And I think that's why everybody is really so upset, because she chose a stereotype to portray and also went and took an extra and went as blackface. I don't
can
really
I ask you a question, Diva?
About
Diva,
DeGeneres.
Can I ask you a question? So why am I not mad at the show?
Because
the show is stereotyping a black person.
Good point.
In a certain way.
Well,
yeah.
You're going to be mad about
see, hold
the show.
On. No,
you have to be mad about Boys in the Hood, too, because they stereotype black.
Diva,
I mean,
Hold on. Diva,
stay on
stereotype.
Top of
Diva. Hold on. I mean, Boys in the Hood was
that
one
was
thing.
The actual type.
That was real. But if you look at what – I've not seen the show, so I can't speak to it. But if you look at what's really going on here, why are we not mad at the shows who are depicting our women as hoes?
That's not what they – I mean, but it wasn't a
I didn't say the show. I'm saying – Aviva, I'm saying
– stereotype.
Right. The character that she is portraying, if they are stereotyping a black woman inside of this show, why are we not mad at the show and not mad at her? Because it's like breaking Amish.
Yeah, Diva. Suck it up, Diva.
I mean,
we get over slavery. Get over all the Jim Crow, all the history, the dogs, the Bull Connor. Get over it.
It has nothing to do with this.
Nothing
to do with this. Stop
being serial picked a white person, too. So why didn't she go as that person?
But the show Black, Orange is the New Black,
New
or whatever.
Black.
Okay. The point is,
about that character
they have a stereotyped person on that show. Why is nobody up in arms about the show?
Okay.
But because the girl portrayed a character on the show, then she gets lambasted.
No, she went extra.
That's the fickleness of political correctness. They don't know when to get mad and when not to get mad.
The character had a very distinct thing about her, to where if she did that without doing the blackface, everybody would have knew who she was. She had the prison jumpsuit, she had the badge, and the prisoner wore her hair in bamboo knots. She took it extra and put on blackface. She didn't have to do that. She could have wore the bamboo knots in her head, and everybody knew who she was.
Why
go extra?
Authentic.
She wanted to do it right. So we mad at her because she did it right.
It makes the point, though. I think it makes the point, the fact that people, that cites a part of history that people are still sensitive about. Everybody's not, but there's a sizable chunk of the African-American community that don't like it. I guarantee you that.
Why haven't we taken it off the air?
Yeah, why haven't we boycotted it?
Because they don't own nothing. I can tell you that. We don't own nothing.
No, we don't own nothing. That ain't got nothing to do with it. We ran down when Ina said that one crack being stupid, because that's what he was. He does more charity for black people than you can shake a stick at. But it doesn't matter. Sick black people can come to his ranch and live with cancer. All this stuff. All the stuff he did. He made a stupid remark. It was backward and stupid. Okay. He should have been made to pay for it, but not be taken off the air. But now you let these people make a buffoon of you every week with this show. Buffoon of you and your people. And then you're going to not say a doggone thing about that as soon as somebody...
Kill the messenger.
And you made it into something it was not. I wasn't saying she was a character in her stereotype in her actions. She was a stereotype in her look, the actress is. I didn't say she was a stereotype in her actions. I said she was a stereotype. But you didn't let me finish. I would have told you she was a stereotype in her look, because only black women truly tend to wear them bamboo knots. And that's what she did. And then if she just wore the bamboo knots, everybody know you were this character from this show. Yeah. But you took it extra and painted your face brown. And you got blue eyes. And blonde hair.
You never seen that before, Diva? You never seen a black person with blue eyes?
No, not with no skin looking like that. No, I have not.
I have. They're peppered all over the place around here.
But the character don't have blue eyes.
But she can't change her eye color just to make you politically correct a character.
They do it all the time. But the point still remains is she took extra. Ellen just dressed up as Nicki Minaj, and it was a horrible costume because she put on the little fat suit to make her butt bigger and her hips wider and this little thing to make her boobs look bigger. And it was just looked a hot mess, but nobody was mad that she went as Nicki Minaj because went as Little Kim that time when Little Kim had on that purple outfit, the purple wig, and the pasty on her boob. Nobody was mad about that. It was that she took it extra. You don't need to. I don't need to paint my face white to look to tell you I'm Marilyn Monroe. There are certain things that I could do to myself to make myself realize that you know I'm Marilyn Monroe or any white character or any white person on TV or as a celebrity. It's when you take it extra, when you don't need to do something, when you do something you don't really need to do, and you're doing it, and you're doing it. I don't know. Or you may just be stupid, ignorant. I don't think Julianna Hough is a racist or a bigot, but.
Here's the thing. You saw Coming to America, right?
Yes, I did.
If you saw Coming to America, you saw the little barbershop scene, all right?
Yes.
You had Eddie Murphy playing the barber, and the little white Jewish guy sitting in the corner was Eddie Murphy also. Why didn't you
this is a free country. He wants to be called Muhammad Ali. That
was
you're not getting. That's just like if – when they had in that movie about the news correspondent who got killed over in, was it Iraq or Afghanistan during the Iraq War, and his wife who is black but she is mixed, but she's more of the lines of a Tandy Newton, and they put, what's her name, Brad Pitt's new girl in that role. You know, people got upset, but I was like, you know what? Hey, she fits the characters of the woman. Even though that woman is black, they want a black woman in a role. But no, even though she's not black, she still fits her characters, her characteristics. So that's fine. Sometimes you can't defend the indefensible, and that's what you guys are doing. And it's I'm sorry, but it's making me upset because you're trying to defend the indefensible, and then you're trying to compare apples and oranges. And you're trying to say, well, look at this and look at that. No, let's just look at how insensitive it was and call it that and move on from it.
Let me ask you a question. And with as much passion as you are defending this, okay, and you see this, that's the truth you hold, why would you not do the same thing with the ACA? Now, you see the truth, the Americans, the Health Care Act.
What does the ACA have to do with this?
I'm talking about your passion. If you know it's a lie, if you know it didn't tell the truth, why would you defend it?
What do you mean if I know it's a lie? If I know it's a lie, I'm not going to defend something. If I believe in my heart that something is a lie, I am not going to defend something.
I don't know.
You may think something is a lie, but people's words and people's actions are subjective. Things can be interpreted a different way by you. They can be interpreted a different way by me.
Her actions, then interpret her actions. I say the woman should have been able to do whatever the hell she wants.
Okay, that's fine. You can feel.
Hold on, Diva. Who says she can't do what she wants to do? Who says she's going to jail? Who said, look, if somebody goes out to our house and shoots up our house, that's a dumb person. Just like the guy was outside of Matt Shaw's house because he sucks. Then just get stupid. Do I disagree? Do I think it was stupid to do? Yeah. The lady should not be crucified for that, but let's just not act like that was a smart thing. Just like the nappy comment that Don Imus made, that was stupid too. That's all I'm saying. And I'm just saying you have a lot of people in America, African-Americans, that they just stop short of giving somebody the benefit of the doubt on a lot of this stuff, and knowing the climate that you're in, if you go into a neighborhood and there's a bunch of Crips there, even though you're a Chicago Bulls fan, you probably don't want to wear your Chicago Bulls shirt. You can wear your shirt wherever you want to go, but don't wear it because they're not thinking like that. They're not, and I'm just being honest, man. That's all I was saying. That's the only point. It's a free country.
Julianna
I went to school, guy asked me about a Chicago Bulls shirt back when Jordan was Jordan, and we almost got in a fight because he thought I was a blood. I'm like, man, I ain't no blood. I just like Michael Jordan.
There was two other white girls who just went as blackface for Halloween. And then on their Instagram account, they're like, me and such and such going as the N-words for Halloween. Then when people got upset about it, she said, well, you shouldn't get upset about it. Now, two blonde-haired, blue-eyed girls paint their faces as blackface and have the nerve and audacity to use the N-word. When you have a person, when you have people that ignorant, and then you have somebody who is just who is that blatantly racist, and then you have somebody who is just a little bit naive in doing it, it's just the fact that, look, you got two racist people over here doing it. We don't need you to do it either because it brings up what the racist did.
What offended you about that?
I shouldn't
that,
have to be
that,
like,
that
well, I'm not gonna be insensitive about it because
Diva,
I don't know.
Diva, what offended you about their actions? The fact that they were portraying black people using the N-word? Is that
no? Because they're racist doing it.
That's one of those things about that I have with some of my black friends and stuff, and I just hate when they use the N-word around me. They use it at me sometimes, and they mean it in love, but it's
no,
still
it's
a
here's the thing.
Word.
There's
it's
a difference between using
away.
The word nigger, and there's a difference for and you're using the word nigger.
Yeah.
Those are two different words with two different
nope.
connotations, two different
nope.
meanings.
Nope.
Where do you stand
nope.
with Flip Wilson when he did Geraldine Jones? Here she was, an unsophisticated, kind of ignorant, belligerent black woman he portrayed. Did that bother any black women? People.
I don't even know what you're talking about. That's probably way.
Flip
that's
Wilson.
Probably before my time.
No, it was here. It's before your time. You were aware, but it was in your lifetime.
Okay, well, I wasn't aware of that.
My mom hated Flip West when he did Geraldine.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was really a put down to black women. That they were fatuous, unsophisticated, belligerent.
It's one thing when you're trying to how can I put this to where you guys would get it and stuff and don't think that I'm being having a double standard. It's one thing when you're putting on a movie and you're trying to portray a specific character, and you want people to understand that this is who this character is. So you need to do certain stuff for them to understand this is who this character is. What Julianna Hough did, we already knew. We already seen that character on TV. We didn't need you to emulate her so that we knew who you were talking about. That's completely, completely different. And then for you to say... You to say, well, you shouldn't be sensitive about it. That's even more offensive.
But Halloween is cathartic, okay?
Name one black person who constantly dresses up as a white person, and we paint our skin white. We do something to change our skin color.
I can go back to my childhood project, and we had several black friends of mine who put on chalk on their face and went out as vampires because vampires
are
gone.
A vampire is a character out of a book.
Now, should somebody who's an albino be offended by that?
But they're not just putting white paint on her face. They're putting the fangs. They got the little blood hanging down. They might have red lips.
And
they might have little vampire little
right
feet
and
everything.
And everything.
And
still blue
they're
eyes
not spraying an albino. Come on, you guys comparing. You take it to the left and to the right of what the point is.
But you were complaining
now, I lived
about
in
the
ghetto
did
too. And we not one
too,
time
did
anybody who was going as a white person put paint their skin white.
You were complaining about her hair as being too authentic. That you didn't need to do the skin, too.
I didn't complain about her hair being
authentic. We need to play the tape of this call for you so you can hear what you said. Sometimes
I didn't complain about her hair being
too
authentic. I said she could have wore the bamboo knots, and then she didn't have to take it extra with the black face.
Well, but the guys who did the fangs and everything else to be a vampire, that was okay because they did take it all the way, right?
A vampire is a character. That's not a real person.
There are people who call themselves vampires and live a vampire lifestyle and drink blood and everything in this
world. But they weren't born that way. They weren't born that way. There's no comparison.
They weren't born that way, huh?
They believe they are. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. It's open mic. The number is 347-945-5229. Want to hear from you. Got phone lines coming in. I'm going to go and pull them up in a minute. I know Diva's holding court between she and Mike in Alabama. Yeah,
I was going to say, Brother Man made a really good stop.
In the chat room?
Yeah, he said that In Living Color used to really make fun of homosexuals. Remember Men on Film? Mm-hmm. And that voice was funny as all get out.
They were funny.
Oh, that was hilarious. But the thing is I don't think they got any backlash on that.
But that was during the time. Remember Ellen DeGeneres got kicked off of television.
Yeah.
She came out and then came back a rock star.
Yeah, she did. And I don't care for her that much, but she's good at what she does.
She's all right.
Yeah, she is, but she's funny, too. I got to get that to her. I can't
funny.
Take that from her. You know, she's talented. But she's not leading with her homosexuality. You know what I'm saying? Her lesbianism. Now, she is one.
Oh, yeah.
But she's not leading with it. And that's what makes her a little more palatable, because, you know, you don't have to lead unless you're the football player or basketball. You know, you don't have to lead with your masculinity if you're a man. You know what I'm saying? It's just who you are. It exudes from you. But when you act a certain way, or like Rico Suave, my pants are too tight, you know, that's overboard. You know, some people may like it, but it's overboard. You know, it's sickening. You understand what I mean?
And movies have always had a history. There's been an evolution in movies, because movies have always had a history of stereotypes. Eddie Murphy in Beverly Hills Cop, he played a gay guy. Remember when he wanted to get into that exclusive club? He pretended he was a gay guy.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he sure did.
Remember that? And you know, and by the stereotype, and God forgive me, I'll say this, but by the stereotype, he did what most people believe a gay guy would behave like. By the stereotype, right or wrong, that's what he did.
Absolutely.
And it was entertaining. Hate to say it, but it was entertaining. It fit into what he was doing.
It was funny.
Yeah.
Downright funny.
And Jim Rockford, when in Rockford Files, he played different characters when he needed to get past a gatekeeping secretary or something, and he played all different kinds of stereotypical personalities to do it. And, you know, and there's a reason for stereotypes, because it's the high percentage statistical probability that the behavior you're acting like is what people in that particular group would do and say, and the way they would do it.
Not true.
You don't think stereotypes are based upon a high percentage of fact?
No. Because I know people who are gay who are not flaming.
No,
let me finish. Hold on. Let me finish.
I said I didn't say all the people in the group.
Mike, let me finish. I know a lot of people that are gay that are not flaming. But a lot of times when you look at stereotypes, they're not a high percentage, because there are a lot of stereotypes that come out about African-Americans. That's what goes back to when I said about Diva and her telling me this television program and what that person portrays. And so no matter what this girl came out and dressed like, she dressed like a character who was already a character on television. And she did it she dressed up and spray painted her face to look like this person. And what I'm saying is the high percentage of African Americans are not like that.
No.
And so that stereotype is, and so even if you look at the stereotypes that they have of African Americans, you know, there is a large percentage of African Americans that they do not stereotype, because a large percentage of African Americans are law abiding, upstanding, pull their pants up, dress like a lady, go to work, and are productive people.
Yes, I understand. But all I said was stereotypes. There's a pattern of behavior that stereotypes peg on, and they go with that what's expected of that stereotype. Didn't say it was right. Didn't say it was true. They just go on what's expected for that stereotype. And that's what people who do impressions do and everything else. When you watch people who do impressions of famous people, they really don't do that good of an impression, except they hit on five or six things that you would recognize as characteristics of that person, so you buy the impression.
Private caller, I think that's you, Brown. Hello? I know.
Unlisted caller.
Unlisted caller.
Mr. Brown, your table
is that
ready.
Brown?
Mr. Brown, table for two.
Brown. It might be somebody else.
It ain't Mr. Cox. He'd have jumped in by now. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. If you want to jump into this conversation, I'm just having some. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway,
I want to live in a planet where everybody's not so thin-skinned, and yesterday has nothing to do with tomorrow unless we allow it.
Well, I tell you what, the mindset of the world right now is very, very precarious. I'm looking at all the things that have happened and how they've been able to make political changes off of political correctness, because you're not allowed to say the person did something wrong just because their skin color is black. And that is the enigma of this last 5-6 years. It is so crazy. It's automatic. Oh, these prejudiced people, oh, those Tea Party, they're racist. They want their country back. They want us to put us back in chains. Nobody's thinking about your behind like that. They are sick of what's going on with the Constitution of the United States and how things are being run. That's what we're upset about. I'm not Tea Party, but I agree with them a lot. This is craziness. You got to get past this stuff so you can be considered smart. I mean, just considered it. Because people think you're stupid because of what you major on. When you got Al Sharpton, we'll sit up and let the black kids beat up and kill a man, and don't say anything about that. But when soon as somebody white kills somebody black, then he's racist, did this, that, and other. Yes, that's true. All of that's true. But it was just as true on the other side.
That's different.
Yeah, it's not different. It's the same. And you've got you can't have pots calling kettles black. You have to call everybody black, or wrong, I should say, in this case. I'm not saying black is the color, but you have to call everybody out, not just some people. That's not what this is.
Yeah, Alex?
I just wanted to say real quick that, just for the record, I think everybody should be able to do whatever they want. However, I don't think it basically you have freedom of choice, but not freedom of consequence. And you can't just be naive about the social stigmas that's occurred in a society. And I think that a lot of times, what can be, I guess, annoying to some people is that people want to ignore the stigma that black people experience, but they want to ignore that and just deal with it. But very rarely do white people address the flip side of it, is their white privilege, because they have a lot of privilege in society due to the history here that they benefit from. And but they don't say anything about that. But the things that people on the darker end of the spectrum, who we have to deal with stereotypes and misperceptions and things like that. Oh, just get over it, But it's not that easy, because you're benefiting from white privilege, and you want me to just get over the social stigmas that's been handed down to me, So we have to be completely intellectually honest about this.
Yeah.
My point again. You're absolutely correct, Alex. But here's the thing: you have to be honest on both sides about it. You can't just have your side being the only one that is wounded, because it doesn't work that way, and you will never ever get parity trying to say, I'm the only one qualified to be able to complain. That's what I'm telling you, kiss my behind. And with good reason. Because that's what makes us not.
Go to break, Jeff.
Go to break, Jeff.
I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number's 347-945-5229. I'm way past.
Put some numbers or something up, girl.
Oh, the number 347.
No, we're talking about break numbers.
5229. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
WSOM.
Great. Now we can have a real conversation. We're off the air. Alex, your mother wears army boots. And I know it because I've seen it in the movie Roots. So it's true.
But see, stuff like that, you can't take offense to. I mean,
you can't.
You know that the person is being comedic. You know the person doesn't have insensitivity in their heart. They're not coming from a bad place. I hear white comics use stereotyping in their jokes all the time. I don't really take offense, but Lisa Lampanelli, I truly take offense to her because she's vulgar. Like black people do it to white people with the stereotypes, how they talk, how they walk, how they fight. White people do the same thing, comedians. It's just that some people tend to take it a little too far. Like Lisa Lampanelli, she feels that she could call Chinese people chinks, Jews, whatever they call them, white black people the N-word, and then expect for me to be okay with it. I'm sorry, I just can't. And I think stuff like this, when you say, oh, it's nothing wrong, it allows that person who is being insensitive to continue to be insensitive and walk in ignorance because they feel like, well, some people don't find it offensive. But when you have the masses finding it offensive, then it's offensive to them. It's going to be offensive to somebody. And you, like Alex in Alabama said, you're going to have to deal with the consequences that comes along with that. Yeah, you can do it. Go right ahead. But you're going to have to deal with the consequences. When those consequences come, don't try to play the victim.
Well, I don't think.
But also at the same time, the hello. Yeah, the whole social stigma on African Americans is just going to get worse as you move more towards a more diverse population. African Americans are going to be scapegoated because they haven't made the economic gains that they should have over the past 30 years. So as they have to compete in the new job market, which is going to be more of a global job market, if they don't have the educational skills or the job skills, then they're going to be scapegoated as a group of people. A lot of the urban centers, they're starting to disenfranchise themselves from the public school districts because they know that a lot of African-American children attend public schools. They know what the income background of the parents is, and they don't want to, and the state does not want to fund the public schools anymore. So what they're really saying is they want the poor black people to move out of the city so they can move people who are immigrants who are willing to take any job they can get, move those people back into the city, people who are Asian or Hispanic or whatever.
I understand, but I think your assessment is incorrect.
In fact,
how is that incorrect?
A lot of communities around this country that are predominantly black that are hard working toward charter schools and everything to raise the standard of education in their community.
But at the same time, you have a lot of people that run charter schools, and they have been accused of mismanaging funds. Not all of the charter schools perform very well, but you
most
also have
do.
A large segment
of-
in a lot of the urban cities where you have a very low income African Americans. And what I'm saying is that the state is at the point now where they're not going to fund these cities anymore. They're trying to bring in people who are real estate developers to try to gentrify a lot of these urban neighborhoods to move low income people out.
Well, but look,
and where will they go? And where
but
will
look
they
at
go?
These
if they have no income.
Well, they're probably hoping that they'll go down south to one of the southern states where the price of living isn't as high. But they can't live
not,
in
not
a major after. Urban
I have
district
a, I have a hard time
where it's more expensive, where it's more
there
taxes
more people,
and everything
there
else.
There are more black people moving to Atlanta where the standard of living is higher than any other city in the United States right now.
Well, exactly. Well, I don't know what the individual policies are of Atlanta. I'm saying if you're looking at the cities that are in the Northeast or in the Midwest or on the West Coast, you basically have this move afoot to move low-income African-Americans out of these places.
I mean, but I'm sorry, because I'm like, I grew up in Westlake Housing Projects, which is one of the worst projects in Youngstown, Ohio, as when I was coming up. Okay, when you look at how those communities operate, and you look at those schools, I mean, are you going to really continue to put money into something that is going to continuously be a drain and the community themselves are not doing anything to make it any better? Because it's not really up to the state. The state can put money in it all they want, but if the community is not really pushing to make things better, it's just going to keep going down and downhill. So,
wow, I never thought I'd live to see Diva do the Tea Party argument.
No, I'm not doing a Tea Party argument. I'm doing a sensible argument.
Well, you're talking about
that
fiscal responsibility and putting money where you get a result.
Yeah. But at the same time, if these school districts can't meet a certain standard, you have a 50% dropout rate in high school, and a lot of the people who graduate, they can't read on grade level. And so so you're not able to produce a sufficient product where that person can go into a global marketplace and they can use whatever skills they've garnered and be able to compete in that marketplace. They're not going to be able to do it.
But whose fault is it that your child – I'm sorry, I have a hard time. I have a hard time with that because I was reading to my child from the time she was in my womb. And when she came, I read to her, and I helped her read. And when she struggled, I helped her. So I'm having a hard time placing a blame on someone else because children, people, grown people don't know how to read in this day and age when all the resources and all the tools are available to them.
Well, all you have to do is look at what the statistics are for the school completion in a lot of the urban districts in the Northeast or on the West Coast, and the numbers are abysmal. You have 50% dropout rates in a lot of these school districts. You have a lot of the children, namely low-income Hispanic or black, who can't read on grade level.
Yeah, but most of that, but that isn't a direct result of not enough money being poured into that school system. There's
right.
something else endemically wrong. That's what Diva's saying. It's a family issue.
It's probably a combination of a family issue and a problem of the execution on the part
really,
of the school
money,
teachers.
How
in
is
terms
it,
of their ability
how you
to,
can look at where the problem
to
lies.
Educate and train young children?
If
you,
money
if you had
the only
every
indicator.
Student in that school failing, or a good majority of the students in that school failing, then I could believe that it was something, it was the education. But when that's not the case, then it has to be one way only. Those kids and their parenting is the issue. I'm sorry,
yeah,
and I hate
that,
to say it, but
that's probably true. You probably
wanna...
do have a parenting issue. You also have an issue with the teachers cannot instruct the children properly because maybe the children have some type of behavioral problem or they need to be on medication or the problems at home are too great that the teachers are not able to teach children.
The teachers are not there to be the child's parent. If my child has a problem, it's for me to recognize that and me to go to the teacher, or if the teacher recognizes it and for the teacher to say, well, you know what, this is what's going on. It's not for the teacher to be a psychiatrist, psychologist, a parent, mommy, daddy. They're supposed to teach you reading, writing, arithmetic, geography, social studies, all these learning tools. They're not there, and I get that there are kids who have other factors going on in their lives, but let's be honest and put the blame where the blame lies, in their home and not on the schools.
Hey,
keep on hanging around me. You keep on hanging around. I told you you're going to turn into a conservative.
No, that's something I've always felt and always believed in.
I agree with Diva because if the amount of money spent on education was the economic indicator was the only indicator that would bear up the statistics of scholastic probability for success, then how do you explain charter schools where most of the kids graduate, most of the kids go on to college, a high percentage, and they operate on 2/3 of the average budget of the average public school? In the Catholic schools around the country, they almost have 100% of the kids go on to college, and they operate on 1/3 to 1/2 the budget of the public school right there in that town. And a lot of those Catholic schools are inner-city schools that also have black children, too.
The difference with the Catholic schools is that the parents are paying some type of a tuition. So the parents have more of an investment in the child's income because they're actually paying for it. And the difference with charter schools is charter schools are allowed to take private money, but you also have charter schools that are not able to meet the educational standards as well.
I think Diva hit it.
So you have charter schools that are failing, too.
I have friends of mine who are teachers in some of those northern inner-city schools, and here's the sad part. A high school with 2,000 students, and on Parents' Teacher's Night, 7 parents show up out of 2,000 children in that school.
That's
a
problem.
Right.
You don't have the investment from the parents in the children's education. And part of the reason is those parents are not paying anything for their children's education.
They're not paying a tuition. I live in
a
suburb. My daughter goes, we have public school here. I send my daughter to public school. They operate on way less money than what Columbus gets in their budget. It's mostly paid for through taxpayer dollars here. And
so
we operate in a way less.
But
they're rated at the excellent, and Columbus is rated at a
they care a little bit.
They don't care.
Yeah, they care.
No, they don't. Because yesterday I had the music up. The people were talking. We were talking in the studio. And Steva and I want to say Alabama, they were on their own flight.
With their own trajectory.
That's
no
what I'm
doubt.
Saying. They were talking, and Brown, they were talking straight through it.
We've moved on. We're on a new
remember
topic
that song?
Now.
I do. I was a little girl.
I wasn't born yet.
Yes.
So what you talking about?
You can't give me an education on music and then tell me you wasn't born
I
yet.
I can because I took music appreciation in college.
They didn't have this appreciation in your college.
Oh, they did.
Well. Oh, they didn't. They didn't even let you. They didn't even let black.
Hey,
what?
I went to the college. What are they called?
Yeah. Listen, you went to Youngstown College.
University of Lincoln.
No, you went
Lincoln and whatever that was. That's what the joke was.
You went to Youngstown College when they only had one building and that's called Jones Hall.
My father did.
No, Jeff.
Well,
you
went to law school
Jeff,
here too.
Yeah, you went to Jones Hall, and you went. I don't be laughing because I know it's true. And it was called Youngstown College. And let me tell you, Mark Mangy went to Youngstown College too.
Uh-huh.
And so that you both understand, he comes in here to get a music appreciation because when he took music appreciation in school.
No, they were only classical then.
That's what I mean. When you were in school, mm-hmm. a music appreciation was only Stereo 99.
Oh.
And so now you want to come here and tell me you know this because you weren't alive
yet? The Bolted and Hunbell Eye.
No, the
with days.
No. That's the Boar's Head Festival coming up in January. That's Episcopalian celebration. And St. John's Church here has done it for many, many years. And they're very, very, it's very, very good. Now, I don't know if Ron Gould is still the director there, but when Ron had it, my mother performed it, my sister performed in it, my sister-in-law performed in it, everybody but me because I didn't have a classical voice at the time. Still don't.
But I was going to ask you, did you ever get one?
Yeah, I can sing classical, absolutely.
You can sing classical, but do you
I'm
have
not
classical
trained
voice?
Classically, but I can sing classically. That's weird, I know, but
okay.
I can.
Hey, room, we're open.
Because I was really trained classically in that my mother trained me to sing. So she was my teacher.
Okay.
Coming up.
So, all right.
So I learned how to do that. I learned how to read. That's why my daughter now, she fluently reads. She reads much better than I do. And you can just give her a piece of paper and she can read and sing to it.
But she can write, can't she?
Yeah, now she can. Now she can. She wouldn't do it, you know, when she was at home. I kept after her about it. But now she had to do it in school because, you know, she has music theory and all that stuff. You have to learn to write.
You've just been gone too far.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
You've just been gone too far.
You asked me.
You,
that's the answer to the question.
You've been gone too far.
Well, okay.
Room, did he go
bring
too
the,
far?
Bring the room.
Hey, Tracy.
Here.
Yes, Al.
Hey, Tracy. Yeah. I got a question for you. I don't know if y'all talked about it before I got here, but am I correct in understanding there are only six people signed up for this thing?
Yeah, we talked about it. But
the first day.
The first day. Now, now we're up to about 500.
They say if they get the thing up to get to their quota, they have to have 39,000 people a day to sign up between now and March if they're going to open it by then.
Yeah, it's a travesty. It really it's and I said this when I first opened up. I don't think we understand the whole system is not prepared for the execution of the Obamacare or the Affordable Health Care Act. The doctors, the hospitals, nothing is ready. So if you think the website is not ready, you wait until you go to a doctor near you. Nothing is ready but the insurance companies to take your money.
I'm losing it now.
Have you guys heard about that doctor? There's a growing number of doctors, but I would suggest people to start looking at independent news sources like Ben Swan. He reported
right.
on the guy on this doctor in South Carolina that is he completely removed himself from the system.
Right.
You know, with the insurance companies, he's just taking cash, and you know, I think it's like you know between $25 and $45 a visit, you know, and you just he's not connected to Obamacare database or anything, and apparently, this seems to be because doctors are choosing, a lot of doctors are choosing to get out of the business. And so this
that won't last very long.
And this is an alternative for some of the doctors to, instead of leaving their practices, they can still help people by just, you know, going off the grid and getting disconnected completely from the insurance company so that our privacy isn't, you know, violated by going into a federal database.
But the whole thing is a doctor can't go too far off the grid because he has to be able to refer patients to a hospital so that the different tests can be performed at the hospital.
That's
and he has
true.
To be able
but,
to and he has to be able to place patients into a hospital as well. So he has to have the admitting types of privileges to be able to practice at all.
He does not have to accept insurances to do that. You understand? He doesn't have to. And that's what they're doing. 9,000 doctors.
But what I'm saying is the patient is going to have to pay for those exams at the hospital out of pocket.
Doesn't matter. The patient may very well have insurance and still can go to that doctor. The doctor just is not going to accept his insurance. He's going to accept his cash only.
He can accept his cash only, but in order for the patient to get a room at a hospital or to have the test performed, that patient's going to have insurance.
Hey,
do you realize that there
are many, many of them that are going into private
practice,
private hospitals.
Right.
Hospitals are backing out of this thing, too. And by the
hospitals
way, Jeff,
are getting out.
Did you receive your book, Jeff?
Yeah.
The book on the VA?
No.
That describes... This one describes what and how they can disclose your privacy information or your health care information.
Absolutely.
And when you get it, read it closely. Read it closely.
That's what we were talking about from the very beginning, those that don't understand why we don't like this bill. It's not because Obama's black. It's because this is messed up for the privacy of the individuals called the peoples of the United States of America. Constitutionally, this is a huge train wreck and overstretched by government. Is going to destroy your ability to have any type of private information because they control what you can and cannot do.
Yes, it's private.
It ain't private nothing.
It is private.
Yeah, well, okay. They're telling me this is.
Well, if you have a private hospital, you don't know what rates they're
going
to charge you to perform different tests.
Philly, what they're doing is some of these hospitals are going into a private practice, so it's becoming a cash-only practice.
Right, but
if
you go into a cash-only practice, it depends on what rate the hospital will charge you to have an X-ray done or to have surgery done. And most people don't have that type of cash on hand to actually pay for it.
But the people that do have that kind of cash,
right,
pay for it. It ain't about the people that can't afford it. The people can't afford it, they don't care.
They don't care.
And so your quality of care that you've normally gotten, you may or may not get. But I got to ask somebody said something. And I got to go back, and I'm trying to pull it back up in my short little pea brain. But inside of this Affordable Care Act, and you guys are talking about the exchange of information. But Jeff, when I said to you, you said that it's not private anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It is private because if I go into the hospital and try to, and your wife is not around, and I'm trying to see if you're all right, they ain't gonna tell me if you're there.
Mm-mm.
There's your privacy.
No. No, this is the thing. But
they'll share it with the world.
They'll share it with the government. But see, here's the whole thing. If I get a pimple on my behind, okay, and then I decide to run for office, guess what? Whoever that person is, they're going to say, well, you know what? He had a pimple on his behind. So you don't know what that is. It could be carcinoma. It could be this, that, another. He's not fit for office. You think that's stupid, but that's what they're going to do. This is what government always does.
But private information is going to be known by the government anyway because the government is collecting information off people off social media. All of that is going to the NSA anyway.
Understood.
You know, if you've got
a
Facebook page, if you have
a
Twitter account, all of that goes to the government anyway.
And that's why I made the comment last week.
What I choose to put on social media, I choose to put out there. But my personal medical history is not on social media.
And that's why I made this comment last week. What happens when another one of these self-righteous people who think they have the right, what if somebody on the extreme right religious fanatic decides to go public with everybody who's in the system who has AIDS? Because after all, they caught it from an impure, unhealthy, unchristian lifestyle. Just like Snowden decided that he was self-righteous and he thought the world had the right to know about what the United States was doing. Depends which side of the argument you're on. You want
But also, if they move to a computerized database of medical records, that's going to be very difficult for any private practitioner to get around, because you know, all of the files are going to be kept on a computer disk.
Yes.
And all that information is ultimately going to the government's ultimately going to have access to all of that information.
Snowden was a government employee. He was working for a subcontractor. He had access to the government database. Some people at the IRS had access to the government database. Will have access to that database.
Hey Mike.
Yeah.
I gotta ask you, because the way it sounds like. You don't like this Edward Snowden guy. I think he's a hero, and
I
it
do
sounds
too.
Like you
and
you
you're
see it seems like you
opinion.
See it seems but, like it seems like you see him as a vigilante.
Well,
so
I do because these people who get self-righteous about actions have also put people's lives at risk. A lot of those documents that are out there now, and the same with Private Manning there and everything else up in WikiLeaks, it put a lot of people who were in the theater of war. Collaborators who were helping the Americans with intelligence that put their lives at risk. See, Alex, maybe my feeling on this is different, because let me just share a personal comment here. I had to arrange emergency airfare through the and fight the State Department and everything to get somebody out of Iraq who was being hunted down to be killed because he helped an American general translate some documents, and only Canada helped me get him in under asylum. I've had to deal with the consequences of these self-righteous people.
I'm coming from
a different place. I see how it affects people.
I appreciate you sharing that, but I think you're mad at the wrong people, because we had no business in Iraq in the first place. If we actually followed our constitution and the vision of our founders, we wouldn't be there. We wouldn't have entangling alliances and just going to preemptive war, definitely not. And so we shouldn't be there in the first place. And a lot of these things are just unconstitutional. So how do we protect our constitution if citizens see our constitution being violated, when they see our Constitution being violated, they don't do something.
Snowden doesn't have the intelligence to know what would violate anything other than his own self.
Why do you? No, wait a minute, Mike.
Hey,
where do you?
Tracy.
Yes, South Carolina.
Let me help out here because when I was in the Marine Corps, you know, we had a clearance, okay, and I had a secret clearance. And our guys, you know. Sometimes they'll grant you a temporary top secret clearance, you know, with specific access. Now, when you are entrusted with that type of information, you know, it seems like treason to just give that type of information to the enemy. Okay, if you're going to disclose it to the American people, that's one thing, but to take it and go and fly to a foreign country with an enemy and disclose that information to the enemy.
Hold on.
That's where
South Carolina
comes in for me.
South Carolina. Uh-huh. Hold on. This is my issue. I'm with you on that. Don't get me wrong. But see,
I'm not.
When he tried to disclose it here in America, you know, wouldn't nobody touch it. So he went to the Guardian. The Guardian told it, and then we said, "Oh my God!" And they said, "We're going to go after him, and we're going to charge him with treason."
But
and
the problem
find,
is,
hold on,
is that
hold
if
on
he's
Philadelphia,
for...
Philadelphia, wait a minute. And so he tried to tell Americans this is what's going on. And Americans said, go after him, kill him, shoot him, because he is a traitor. And
yeah.
instead of us trying to find out what he knew and letting the American people know and then letting them revolt, we're trying to make sure that he goes to jail for the rest of his life.
But hold on. The only country that wanted to touch him, who had the balls enough to touch him, was Russia. Now, Russia might be our enemy, but you got to understand, nobody else wanted to touch him. And they said if anybody else touched him, then it would go into some type of retribution or backlash from America.
But to be clear, he didn't give any information to Russia. He only gave it to one news reporter.
He gave it to Hong Kong, and then he went to Russia. He gave it to a Chinese newspaper, and then he went to Russia.
He never
gave any of that information to anybody except for one news reporter, Greenwald or whatever his name is, with The Guardian in the UK. That was it. He didn't give any information to any other
country. But The Guardian is in.
It's a UK paper.
Right, I'm saying I understand it's a UK paper, but the Chinese have access to the information that goes through The Guardian. So basically, it was indirectly, he gave the information to the Chinese government. But the whole problem is that if he went into a secret organization of the government, he agreed not to disclose the secrets of the government. He took an oath not to do that.
So that's why, based on those principles, he
did violate the trust of the government.
The trust of the government, but not the trust of the people of the government.
But the government is the people.
The government's supposed to be the people, but today the government is not the people. Because if the government was supposed to be the people, then we would be better off than we are today, because right now it's them and us, because we won't take over the government.
I get that he wanted the Americans to know that you were being spied on. I get that, but did he have to know, let everybody know about everything else that they didn't need to know about?
You didn't listen to a thing the man said when he came out,
which was far more than just the fact we were being spied on, and he claimed, "You can't touch me," because he didn't want the consequences. "I poison pilled this. I put 43 copies of it out there in the world. And if you arrest me, they're going to give it to the communists and everybody." The little snot nose was a wimp. He poisoned pilled.
If you're going to stand on something and you're going to do what you think is right, then you take the consequences of that. You don't go running off like a little punk.
But if everyone who worked for the CIA and the NSA did what this man did, those organizations would collapse. People have to be able to keep secrets.
Y'all sound stupid.
Hold on.
They have to be able to keep things secret that they don't disclose to the media.
I'm not allowed. I've got to pay money now.
Hold on. Private call, your mic is on.
God.
And 540, you're next. Private caller, your mic is on.
I'm just listening. That's it.
All right. Hey, 540, your mic is on.
Yeah, good afternoon, Tracy and friends.
Hey, good afternoon.
I wanted to kind of pull this conversation back to the Affordable Care Act and some of the difficulties that I can see on the very near horizon regarding what they're trying to do. Another talk show host locally who has been substituting a couple of days this week on another local channel here, he's a former mayor of Youngstown, and though he likes to talk as if he's an independent, I know in his heart he's still a Democrat. And his comments several times this week has been, "Well, we're jumping to too many conclusions. We just need to let this thing run its course for a year. And then the elections will be here, and if we don't like it, we can change the people in the government." And I didn't get a chance to call him, but I just want to put this out here for those of us that are serious about taking back our government and putting it back in the hands of the people. We cannot afford to wait a year for this to happen, because one of the things that all of the liberals seem to avoid contemplating and or discussing in a public format, which Tracy, thank you for this opportunity, is the fact that in that year we will see an attrition of currently viable insurance companies and currently viable private practice doctors, nurses, and hospitals implode and disappear from the marketplace if this program is allowed to continue to roll forward unabated. What happens at the end of the year when people finally get their head out of the sand and say, oh, my God, what a tragedy this is, when 60% of our caregivers are gone from the marketplace? Then what do? Then we're stuck with this single-payer plan, which is part of the original plan that Obama and the rest of the liberals have had since day one.
Let me say this. Yesterday, Jeff and I, we were, hold on, Alex. Yesterday, Jeff and I, we were at a place, and a young man who is a massive Obamacare affordable health care supporter is screaming and hollering about his bills that are coming into his house right now. And he has a child that is special needs. And so it is slowly but surely being able, people are feeling it. But even with the feeling of it, they still don't believe it's fire. And that's because America and our media system has desensitized people and has dumbed them down so much, even when they get burned, they don't realize there's a fire that's burning underneath them that's causing it.
Well, that's where your show and others of the same ideology, Tracy, are providing an amazing service. And regardless of whether we're looked down upon as being undereducated about what's really going on, or we're called stupid or whatever else they want to call us, I look back a year and a half ago when Nancy Pelosi on the House of Representatives stood up and said, we don't know everything that's in there, but we're going to pass it, and then we'll find out. And if that kind of idiocy is the representation that you want for in your government, shame on you. You should be in a
It was worse than that, caller. It was worse than that. It was worse than that. She said, we've got to pass the bill to find out what's in it. That was her statement.
Well, that's what I was referring to, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but you said it in a believable way.
Well, that kind of leadership is anything but leadership. It's idiocy. And that's the same kind of thing they're trying to accomplish now by all of this dust storm that keeps coming up with this kind of catastrophe and that kind of catastrophe. They keep us all confused and spinning around in a whirlwind, and nobody's dealing with the issues. And we need to get them back to the issues and hold our elected officials accountable. And that includes some of these wishy-washy so-called Republicans that are nothing but rhinos. They're Republicans in name only.
It's true.
Yeah.
That bothers me to no end. And somebody was saying that why don't I agree with some of those guys? And they said, look, I'm a real conservative when it comes to that. Do I, you know? And the one thing that they have done and done a good job of is making conservatives to be evil people. That they want to cut off, you know, assistance and all this. Those things are lies. That is not what the view of the party is. The overuse of those things and the way that they're running them, they're running us into the ground with them instead of trying to fix them.
Let me throw this into the equation, because I was watching something the other night, and they brought up the notion that they no longer wanted. The Democrats are really trying to put the Republicans out of business.
Yeah, what they're doing.
So the question is, if the Democrats really are trying to put the Republicans out of business completely, what choice will you have?
None. They don't want you to have a choice.
If you don't have a choice, how will it affect you?
You have a choice. You have the Libertarian Party.
I mean, Alex, if you look at what's really happening here, they're trying to put down the Libertarian. They are ignoring, and the Republicans are trying to put out. So what happens when you have a one-party system? Completely.
Then you have a one-party system. You have a dictatorship in effect.
It's called communism. That's what it
I'm
is.
Just checking.
Communism.
692. Your mic is on.
Totalitarian. Well, if you just keep listening to that last caller, Republicans and Tea Partiers, and you're going to watch your party implode just like it's doing. You're going to lose more elections than you guys. Okay? Because what happened is during the shutdown, when the Republicans and the Tea Party held the economy hostage for those 16 days, it took $24 billion out of the economy in those 16 days. So does the Tea Party care about the economy and all that money? No. They care.
And it saved $56 billion of government overspending against
debt.
You don't care about the financial future of the economy.
He just ignored you, not so blind. You
know,
came in with a very plausible statement.
Here's what I need to answer. The reason
this is what liberals do. They
are spending $4 billion a day that we don't have. It
the reason I called in,
$56 billion.
Facts don't matter.
Right, tank it all. The Tea Party philosophy is tank it all, take it all down, and we'll sort through the rubble later. Because
that's a lie from the pit of hell.
Obstructionism. The reason we're in the state we are is because the Republicans are about obstructionionism, and there's no progress allowed because they obstruct. Well, bullshit. Okay, because
you read every book
all the time
the
government was shut down before it was done by Democrats. So now,
let me ask you,
three times it is done by Republicans, you want to blame Republicans for one time of shutting it down on a huge principle of not letting the government take over people. And so you want to do that.
Take the economy over principle.
All the times that it was shut down before, and every other thing that came up, filibuster, was all Democrats. But no, this one time, this is what they want to do. You're a liar.
The reason I called in today was to find out the explanation of why health care costs in the last 20 years have quadrupled. In 20 years, health care costs have
because
quadrupled.
You have
now, Obamacare,
Obamacare
didn't exist 20 years ago.
You didn't have tort reform in the
Obamacare
past.
Obamacare has
people,
not existed
and a
for
lot
20
of the doctors
years.
Would overprescribe. In terms of they would do a whole lot of tests and pad the hospital bill in case they got sued. They would have all of those tests to use as evidence in court.
Okay, so you're saying – so it's not Obamacare that caused a massive increase in health care costs.
Sweetheart, honey,
yes.
Hold on, listen. Hold on. You got to honestly understand. This bill, though it may be well-intended by many – is not going to be beneficial for most.
So say you. We've never done this before. This has never been attempted on this scale. That's what you say.
Listen,
I've never lit my pubic hair on fire, but I already know I don't want to do it.
Well, okay, equating this is the same arguments they said about Social Security, find me a Republican that would take that away that's not Paul Ryan.
And Social Security was a disaster because this is what broke up the families. This is what caused old people to retire and count on that stupid money that never comes.
Right, it's terrible because old people, before Social Security, 30% of old people were in destitution, and now that's down to 9% because of Social Security.
It was the economy, and it was the depression, give me a break. And it was the extended family it destroyed. Old people were taken care of. Grandma and Grandpa lived with you.
Your solution is have nine children.
They stayed at home and had values.
Your solution is have nine children because one of them will take care of you and you might have to eat cat food.
Making your bad choices my problem.
Yeah.
People can't afford to have nine children today.
People had nine children in the past because people worked on farms and they needed the children to help them do the labor.
But it's definitely not practical to have
a whole lot of children today.
Sweetheart, the reason,
okay,
hold on.
Truth is, we pay for your bad choices every day when these guys go into the emergency rooms without health care coverage. So you're paying for their bad choice of not having health care coverage.
That's the reason why the Medicaid program is being expanded under Obamacare.
I couldn't understand. They don't have money for health care.
There are 10 people in this room, and 9 of them are lit up. One at a time.
Can I make a comment?
No, not yet. Six.
Yep.
He's not out there. Hold on. Alabama, did you have some?
Well, I wanted to respond to the gentleman that was railing on the so-called Republican Party.
Right.
I could. Let me be clear about this. I don't believe that the Republican Party is the end-all and be-all to this solution either. But I'd like the gentleman to answer me this question. If the Democrats are in such wonderful condition and have the best interest of their people, could you please explain to me the city of Detroit, Michigan, or the state of California, which has been a stronghold of Democratic political people for well over four decades, and they're both totally bankrupt. And our nation is headed in that direction because they've turned themselves into the nanny state that'll meet everybody's needs at somebody else's expense. And the problem is, I'm one of those somebody else's. I'm almost 70 years old, and I still have to work every day, 6 days a week, because I can't afford to retire, and not because I've made bad choices, but because the government has dipped into my paycheck 60 cents out of every dollar for the last 35 years.
That's right.
Wow.
Can I respond to that? Can I respond to that?
Yes. Please respond to that.
Okay, I'm not the. I don't claim that the Democrats are the be-all, end-all philosophy of the United States. Number one, okay, either. And I do agree that both sides have problems, which is what Tracy talks about quite a bit on this show. Is that both sides do have problems, and she always tries to address problems, not necessarily a party one way or the other. Number one, but number two, in response to him bringing up California and Detroit, I would bring up the $5 billion budget deficit in Texas that no one talks about. The fact that southern red states lead the country in obesity, a lack of college degrees, lack of public school education, they lead the country. Okay, red states under Republican leaders lead the country in prescription drug abuse, in alcoholism, in divorce rates, spousal abuse, gun deaths. They lead the country in all these social problems, and they're all led in red states. So don't tell me that philosophy is better.
Hold on, guys.
Chicago, but you also have those problems in the blue states, too.
What about Nashville, Lexington, Memphis, Alabama, Mississippi? The worst educated states are the deepest red states.
Hold on.
Okay?
Explain
to me why NASA was based in
Mike, hold on a minute. Hold on.
Yes.
Okay, sir. Now, I apologize for calling you a liar. That was wrong. But I know that you're too intelligent to be saying these things because you're misinformed. Okay,
they're facts. Here's
about,
those
here's
are facts.
Please, hold on. Let me
finish, please.
We only got a couple minutes. Look, these deep red states are where in the country again? Did you say Alabama?
He dropped.
Did you
south.
Say?
Because
oh,
south.
He dropped.
He dropped.
Yeah, he dropped because he doesn't want to answer the truth.
Just go ahead.
Okay,
what's the truth?
Here's the thing. We're overrun from our southern border by enemies of the state. You have La Raza, who is now getting, if you look at the drudge report, you'll see where they're getting ready to try to affect an election, which La Raza says they want the race to rise and take the United States back. You have
so you're
all
saying
of
the
these
South is being
coming
invaded
in.
By terrorists?
I'm saying that you're being invaded by illegal aliens that are coming here, and they are using everything.
That's what
Foxy. They are using – can I finish, sir?
Yeah.
I let you do all of that run of the gamut, and that's what you all like to do. Once again, you are running. You have these people overrunning the our social services programs down in these southern states, which you're calling the deep red states, and you're blaming it on racism when all of it is you're being overrun by illegal aliens that are able to get on your different aids and things in the south, and they are running those states dry. They are killing the school systems in Texas and Mexico and New Mexico, excuse me, and Arizona, et cetera, because they're overrunning them. That's why you get the very low test scores, because you got people in your schools can't speak English. And you don't want to sit up and offend them by making them have to learn English because of the foolish liberal things that they come up with. You better get
I agree
a
with you
100%
of that. I agree with you. They should teach English.
Hold on.
I agree.
Hold on.
You're right. They should have to speak English. There's something that's not just a liberal dogma that they love Mexican illegals and that they shouldn't have. You know, that's wrong. I agree with you 100% on that. But saying that, you know, like this Koch brother philosophy that let's blame illegals for every social ill is wrong because there are white southern gentlemen that control the South in the houses and the state senates. Those aren't illegals that control those things. Those are white southern gentlemen that control the state legislators down south. Okay?
Hold on. Now, listen. Can I say something? Hold on. Can I say something before we go too much further? Okay, and then I'll go out back out.
You're the host.
No, not really. I just take responsibility for what's going on here. But no, and I just lend my name to it.
listen, this is the issue. There are many, many systemic problems to each side. But what's happening is the American electorate at large, who are mostly labeled as independents, have ejected themselves from the political equation, which is causing chaos. When you talk about the Affordable Health Care Act, majority of people don't even have a clue what's in it or what's around it and how it's going to affect them. It is a wonderful idea to make sure that everybody has access to quality health care. I applaud people for saying it. I demonize Republicans because they should have done it when they were in power, and I applaud Democrats for doing something even though I think it's crazy. But the legislation in itself is bad. If they did not pull in everyday people. They did not pull in health professionals. They did not go out and find out what was necessary to make this work. And at the end of the road, the people who are going to hurt the most is the average everyday citizen. And that is where the problem lies. It is not, and I can't speak for all Republicans. I can only speak for Tracy. It is not a good bill. And there was a better way to slice this cat than to cut his throat. Because all we're going to do is hurt a lot of good people who are not paying attention to what's going on. The poor of the poor are going to be seen about. They're going to run game. They're going to get what they need to get, and they're going to be fine. And the rich of the rich, they're going to be fine. Those of us who are in the middle, who are going to work every day, trying to make a living, trying to do the right thing, we're the ones who are going to be hurting. And therein lies the problem, because that is the majority of America. And they pit us one against another, whether it be conservative or liberal. Neither one doing the job effectively. And when people come and tell us the truth, we throw rocks at them because we can't handle the truth. And our media system, they are a bunch of liars. They are propagandists. They never tell the truth, and they never give us the facts. And we buy into this system of all these cliches, all these loose slogans, all these acronyms. And at the end of the day, all of it means nothing. And that is the sum total of the whole issue of the Affordable Health Care Act. We are not prepared. It's a bad bill. Great name. It's like No Child Left Behind. You still can't read in the third grade. Can you tell me if you're going to be left behind now? So we're still building prisons based upon a third grade reading score, and we know that they can't read. Now, that was a Bush bill. This is not about partisan politics. This is about America at large. And as I said earlier, you've got ding and dong, and between the ding and the dong, you don't have a bell. And until we come up with solutions and start engaging ourselves into the practices, start reading what's going on, and making our people who we elect accountable to us, so whether they be mayor, school board, congressman, senator, all of them are crazy right now. And I'm watching this from the inside out, not from the outside in. I watch them play games every day with commas, with periods, and with a couple letters inside of the bill to screw up the whole thing. So it's not that people are liars. It's not that people are stupid. The whole system is corrupt. And it's time for us to start opening up our eyes, waking up, and shaking the fruit from the trees, and whatever falls down that is not good, kill it and eat the ones that it is. Because right now, all the legislation, no matter where it is, it's just as dumb as you got people coming out of prison who can't become a barber because they have a felony. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That was very good. You need
That's
to put
how
the
you really
on
feel.
For yourself. You won't do it. See, I should have been sitting over there at that time. But anyway.
Are you that passionate on the first date?
Well, are you that passionate on the first date? No, I'm about to be married. I'm still waiting to get married. I don't even get a date. I'm just trying to. I'm just listening to the conversation, and I hear both the left and the right and the Republican and the Democrat, and I'm watching all this stuff go on. And when I look at what's going on around us, they're playing games with us, and we're losing.
We're losing.
But we have to correct it,
Don't reject it. That's the thing.
You can't correct it right now.
You can't correct it right now. Don't unplug it. You have to improve it. Don't remove it.
No. Hey, Jesse.
Oh, God.
Jesse, listen. Dave's lawyer. You can't correct it. I'm just saying. Don't reject it. No, listen to what I'm saying. You can't correct it because you get, look at our tax code.
Fix it. We don't nix it. You can't do that.
How long is it going to take that? How many days did it take you to pick some things up?
No, he watched John Stewart the other day.
That's all. See, Diva, I love you, Diva. I love you, Diva. See, she's right.
So they give the big corporations and the union a one-year extension, but the Republicans wanted everybody to get a one-year extension. That's why the government shut down. Everybody keeps forgetting that. And now the Democrats are pushing through a bill, supporting a bill to let the one-year extension apply to everybody if they can't fix the website.
It's not a bill. It's a law. And y'all keep...
They're pushing through a bill to try to extend the law. But here's the problem. When the government has control of your life, it's not good. Government should take back its own responsibility to do the things it's initially supposed to do. Protect the borders of the United States and our interests and our peoples inside and outside the United States. And
we're
against enemies foreign and... Can I finish?
No.
Foreign and domestic. Okay,
yeah.
Diva, what does it say then? You know so much.
Where in the Constitution does it say the government does not share a responsibility for the citizens within it?
Did not say that at all. They do not owe you an outcome in life.
What I'm saying is, where in the Constitution does it explicitly say that the government is not to share in the burden of its citizens?
I'll tell you exactly where.
Mike, hold on. Go ahead, Alan.
What it says in the Constitution regarding that very topic, if it's not covered here, it is assumed it's not the government's responsibility. It's covered in the negative.
What he's referring to is,
if it isn't there, it's not. That's the answer in the Constitution.
What it says is in your 10th Amendment, which is your Bill of Rights, you should all read them one day. In your Bill of Rights, the 10th Amendment, it says that whatever is not explicitly written here in the Constitution for the federal government is reserved to the people and the states.
There you go.
I don't think you can get any more clear than that, which is why this bill, all these education bills and healthcare bills, they drive me up a wall, because if it's not explicitly written in the Constitution, the federal government has no business doing it, and it's unconstitutional and illegal. It's right there. Just go to the 10th Amendment and read it.
But the legislative branch has the power to make laws as long as these laws fall in with the
Diva, sweetie. I can make a law and it can say anything, but it doesn't make the law right and or good. But go back just to the core of what I said. Yes, we need to be able to come to America, live in America, and make a living in America, and have the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
The pursuit.
Yes, liberty.
But
and the
I
pursuit
have
of happiness.
To be able. But see, to have a pursuit is an action word. I must pursue, which means I must do something. As I said before, America is designed on every citizen being an active participant inside of the democracy of America. And we have dumbed down the American electorate so much that not everyone is actually producing and or being productive in it. Because we are not producing and we are not being productive in it, we have a small group of people who's turning into a larger group of people who are taking everything out of the system, and they have not produced anything to go in it, whether they be on SSI and they shouldn't be there, or whether they be incarcerated and they shouldn't be there. When you are taking care of Americans the way we are, with job and family services, with Social Security, with a lot of places that we're not, I'm not saying old people need to go to work, but I'm saying everyone who is, no matter where they are in life, if you are mentally retarded, you ought to be able to empty trash cans. That's why they have places like Masco,
They build things even though they are slower in learning. Everyone should be producing something. What's happening today is we are taking care of a lot of people who are not producing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're weighing
in on the system,
and we are becoming into something that we are not, because we are not designed to become a socialistic society. We are built upon a democracy that everybody works in.
But all these things can be fixed. All these issues that you talked about, can be fixed. Yes,
not by
people
government.
Who are SSI, they are not saying you can't work because you can work on SSI. What they should say is, we're going to – you can work. If you're able-bodied and able to work, we will supplement your income because we understand you have limitations and you're not going to be able to find employment that is going to, that you're going to live.
We don't care about that.
But you won't vote for me because I'm a Republican, and I won't vote for you because you're a Democrat.
I said if you were to run for mayor and I was living there, I would vote for you. I would come up there and be your Jay Carney, your Olivia Pope.
She was using an example.
I'm just saying.
But then, you also have the problem where people don't have the job skills for the new jobs of the future. So you have to re-educate a large majority of people that are already in the
system. Leave it alone. We'll discuss it Monday.
Monday open mic. We love you. God bless you. Don't forget to change your clocks back this weekend. I'll see you guys on Monday afternoon. For here at Tracy and Friends on WSOM AM 600. God bless and have a very safe and wonderful weekend.
Bye, Trace. Bye, Diva.